Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, sports fans. Fill up that coffee cup and that bowl. Sit back and relax, because live from Colorado, it's time for the Sports Offensive.
Well, good morning out there, sports fans, and welcome to the Sports Offensive. It's been a little while since we've been on the air here, so hopefully we can start getting some more shows coming. Something's going in and out. I don't know if that's my voice or just my speakers. Anyway, sorry, some technical difficulties here doing the first show in a while. Oh, maybe that's it. The game knob is the problem. That's not good. I almost need to see if I got a warranty still on that board there.
I think it's more of a little dusty problem.
Yeah, that could be it, too. You know, the problem when you only do one show every six months or so.
It's been a year and a half.
A year and a half. My goodness. It has gone so quick. You know, want to welcome everybody here in the studio. Mark Dean is here coming to you live. Right here, we've got co-host JP. JP, how was the trip up?
You know, the trip up is always the highlight of the morning. After you get to Santiago, you get to see the Front Range, the Flatiron, the Arapahoe Glacier back there. It's always a great drive up.
You know, this might be my first Santiago's breakfast burrito since our last show, because there isn't really one that close to me here.
Yeah,
and now that we don't go into the office to work, or I don't go into the office to work, nobody brings burritos in. So we've also got our resident South Dakota expert, Nate Holmes. Nate Dog, how was your trip?
Yeah, guys, great to be back on the radio. It's been so long. Santiago's was a staple of Colorado. I got one right down the street from my house, so I probably have one weekly. But yeah, guys, I'm super excited. A lot to talk about, it sounds like. Super Bowl, obviously, tomorrow. We've got baseball season heating up here pretty soon. All-star game, trade deadline in the NBA. All sorts of stuff going on. So excited to see what we come up with.
So maybe we need to move that microphone to another one, you think? I'm not sure why those games are having so much problems.
The last time you used this was probably back a year and a half ago, right?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, so that's probably why. We're going to move him over here real quick. Just
Where's Anderson when you need him, you know?
We got to take
him. Oh, there you go.
Got him.
Can
okay.
you hear me? Can you hear me?
No, not really. I can hear you because you're in the room here, but it's not really coming through.
Yeah, I can't hear myself.
You want to try another one? Sorry for this, folks, but everything sounded like it was working when we got started this morning.
Is that better? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
It was that connection, that port.
Technical difficulties
avoided so far.
Should be
down,
okay.
down to a few ports on the old board. That's not
that's good. That stuff you off every now and then.
I do, because Gizmo walks on it and drops all his shit on it.
It's all that resin down there.
We're going to give that one up to the Gizmo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have JP wearing the Wawa t-shirt.
Wawa Eagles t-shirt. Specialty find on the internet.
For all of you out there in Philadelphia, you know,
can
representing
you,
the home
explain
state.
That to me? I'm
Well,
Wawa
is a completely East Coast thing.
Okay.
You cannot get it outside of the East Coast.
But what does it mean?
It's a gas station restaurant.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's like you can get anything from breakfast, lunch, to dinner, bowls, burritos.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I get the Italian hoagie when I go there.
I mean, see, what I thought it was, you know, when everybody's talking about it, because, you know, I got so many friends from Philadelphia. I don't know how that happened, and I got to correct that problem. But, you know, it's weird that, like, so many people would talk about Wawa, and I'd never been there, never seen one, but I'd only seen it on Facebook and stuff like that. So when I finally went to, I had to go to, it's a really small, Doylestown, really small town, and I had to go there for work. And as we were driving by to the hotel, I saw Wawa, and I told my boss, there's a Wawa, and it's a gas station, right?
She like, what are you talking about?
Well, she was like, what's a Wawa? I said, it's a restaurant, gas station, or whatever. Now, I've been corrected. I used to call it a gas station that has a restaurant in it. I've been told now by some of my, as I get more and more East Coast people at work, they're telling me, no, it's a restaurant that happens to have gas.
Oh.
Now, you walk inside.
That's how the licensing works, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you walk inside, it looks like a convenience store, but they've got a big section for sandwiches.
Sure.
And they make a lot of sandwiches, and they make soup. And I actually use the soup.
The chili.
To me,
yeah.
Fantastic.
The soup's great.
They had a corn chowder when I was in town. So great. And then I was also
divey, like, are they
kind of divey looking places? No, they're better. Now my boss was not impressed with the sandwich. I was not blown away by the sandwich. And of course, after I got my sandwich and I posted it on Facebook, I was like, that's good, but it wasn't great. But the soup was awesome.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, well, they got bought out by a corporation. It's not as good anymore. But well, then why did y'all tell me that before I go to eat there? It's not as amazing, but.
Well, everybody wants to be the one to give the advice, you know.
Right. Well, I think people are nostalgic, right?
Oh,
but then when my boss talked smack about it this last month when we were in Philadelphia, like three people were like, hey, don't be talking about Wawa, you know.
Well, as you guys know, I was just in Hawaii. They have a term down there called soupret, and it's kind of like a supermarket.
Okay.
And they serve food in there, and a lot of times it's like poke or huli huli chicken, you know, kind of some of their staples down there. So we went to one up on the North Shore. I can't remember the name of it. Some Kani Kani or something like that. It's in bread, right? And it had this incredible tuna poke, man. And it was actually, like, reasonably
What's
fried.
A poke?
So poke is just, like, a raw fish. And then they chop it up and season it with, you know, like, Asian spices, soy sauce, fish sauce, furikake, which is sort of like a... like a mushroom powder. Yeah, it's like a mushroom powder.
A little bukkake? What are we talking about here?
It's just a piece of like a lot of umami, but it's really good if you're into like, you know, seared tuna and that kind of thing.
I would also say, I would put your microphone a little bit closer to your mouth.
Yes.
I think that would probably help.
Ooh.
Oh, put it in there, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, stroke it, stroke it.
There you go.
I might be going to see 80 for Brady today.
Oh.
So my movie buddy, you know, I'm here to go see, last week we went and saw A Man Named Otto. So for those of you out there who haven't seen it, unreal movie. I mean, the previews don't even kind of hint at what kind of movie it really is.
That's Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah. So the preview makes it look like it's just a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Right? He just kind of has a kind of an asshole kind of thing. But there's an amazing story about, like, why he is the way he is and, like, who he actually is and what he actually cares about and stuff. And, dude, I have not openly cried in a movie theater in probably 10 years. And I was sitting there, and I was, like, trying to stop myself after like 5 minutes of sobbing, because it was just such an amazing story. And Tom Hanks just absolutely crushed it, you know. Now, I also had a very stressful last couple of months, so it might have just been also just a lot of stress built up. And I just gotten back from Philly. I had pneumonia. I had COVID last, you know, over Christmas. I mean, I've just been sick and as shit for what feels like forever.
It's
like the
episode 3 of The Last of Us. I would cry, let's not open the floodgates like that. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, and if I had not been watching that on the plane, I probably would have cried.
Yeah.
But, JP, you haven't seen that? It's based on the game The Last of Us. It's a zombie video game, but it's a really good story. It is so good of a show. Fought the PS5 remastered version of the game to play it because I'm just like, I can't get enough of it. Now, Hogwarts came out last night. I'm probably going to take over my plane for the next 9 months, but... you know, either way.
Mando's coming out soon, too.
And Mando's goddamn, I need to start canceling some of these streaming services because how much do you guys spend on streaming a month?
You know, maybe I got a business idea. Why don't we bundle all the streaming services out there and then we can call it cable?
There you go. And then we can charge $190 a month. So hopefully everything sounds good. I do have a brand new modem that I got about a month and a half ago after I got my bonus, because my old one was just starting to piss me off. I went from 89 megabytes per second to 600.
Wow.
And I'm not paying for 600. So I don't know, you know. Weird. But it's also got Wi-Fi 6, which is nice. So, like, it's all super souped up. So if you need the password, let me know for your phone.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just really nice. It goes super, super quick. So
you'd have to show me that. I might get one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's not cheap.
Because I had the same one. I had the same one as you. So I would
They just gotten too old, and it wasn't, when I was trying to stream and stuff, or if I had too many things connected at once, it just didn't work well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, it's fun to reminisce, but let's get to it, huh?
Yeah, so JP, thank you for the burrito.
Santiago.
Make
so
the morning
a good time.
Just put that little extra something.
You know, it's kind of funny because they were out of diet Pepsi when I was in there, because I just drink diet, I don't get sugar, and they already rang me up, and she's like, you just want to get us, you just want it next time? She's like, you're always in here. I'm like, yeah, I'm always in here. She's like, I'll just take one next time.
Yeah, I had that same problem when I used to work, you know, you had to go to work. Yeah, there's like a one gas station that got to know me really well because I stopped by there all the time on the way home. But now I don't go because, you know.
Well, I noticed a little new Mamacita in there.
Ooh, all right, so we have got a ton of stuff going on. Obviously, the Super Bowl coming up, Chiefs, Eagles. probably the first Super Bowl in a while that I think people are excited for because it's really good, exciting teams.
Not to mention evenly matched.
Yes.
Very evenly matched.
They should be able to keep up with each other. And, you know, we've also got the NBA power structure has completely changed in a matter of, like 9 hours.
Why is KD always part of that? It seems like every time there's, like, a shift in power, that KD is involved.
Because KD chases power because he can't do it on his own,
that's,
I guess.
That's the key right there. Just to let everybody know, we're going to do a little bit of a reverse today. Just because once we start talking about the Super Bowl, we're not going to get off the Super Bowl.
No.
So we're going to hit on
a
couple things right off the bat quick. So just hang with us. We want to get some stuff out of the way. And then once we hit the Super Bowl, it's going to be nonstop action for the whole field, the rest of the hour.
And if any of our friends or whatever are listening and want to call in, we do have a call-in line, 515-605-9805. Is that a different number than you?
That actually is a different number.
Yeah. I guess that's what happens when you don't podcast for a while.
Definitely a different number.
Yeah, so it's a different number.
Again, it's 515-605-9805. I'm sure that number is also on our page on Blog Talk Radio where you're most likely listening to this. So we've also got a little bit of updates for the Colorado folks. Here we are in Colorado. So we've got a new Broncos head coach. We've got a new CU head coach, both very high profile, both very exciting for the state. We'll see what happens. And then if we have time, we'd like to hit on a little bit of Major League Baseball. It's been a crazy offseason in baseball, but, that's the back burner right now because baseball. JP, is it next week?
I think it's February 17th, pitchers and catchers, at least for the Phillies.
That's when they report, yeah.
Yeah, it's all from, like, the 13th.
Yeah, I know. I just saw the pictures. All the Phillies gear just arrived in Clearwater is where they're based out of for spring training.
So they're in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Dodgers are in Florida. They're at Vero Beach. Oh, they used to be Vero Beach. Are they still there? Because I think I remember them, like, closed Dodger Town and moved to Arizona. I'm not sure.
I mean, the Rockies are in Arizona.
Yeah.
Rockies have always been in Arizona. With the Diamondbacks, don't they? They share a facility?
I'm not sure about
that.
That
you might be right.
That might have happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing Monfort, that wouldn't be a shock.
Yeah, of course. Right? So he doesn't have to pay for the whole thing.
Exactly. I mean, that's just Monfort in a nutshell.
Whatever drops the price. I heard somebody recommending the Penners and Walton buy the Broncos or the Rockies, too.
Yeah, I've seen all kinds of rumors going around about who should buy the Rockies.
Well, maybe if McGregor Square keeps up with their bad business downtown, they'll have to sell the Rockies.
So that leads into a question I really want to get your guys' opinion on. But before we do that, let's, JP, why don't you do our trivia question of the week?
Yeah, now this is an interesting one because I actually didn't really even know this. This is a really broad variety of quarterbacks that played in the Super Bowl. But who was the only QB to rush for more than one touchdown in a Super Bowl?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
So I'll bet it's not a scrambling quarterback, right? Or not a Vic-type quarterback. Although, how many of those quarterbacks have even been?
That's true. You got to think, McNabb comes to mind because he was in the Super Bowl and he was a scrambler. Yeah. Russell Wilson comes to mind because he was in the Super Bowl.
What about
he used to scramble.
What about Steve Young?
Yeah. That's the one I'm thinking.
Me too.
Now, there is a record in the Super Bowl that Steve Young holds, and I'll reveal that.
Or what about,
there's another record that Steve Young
holds. What about Elway?
I know the three that they played in recently and they won, but you know what? Yeah, the two or three they played in before I moved to Colorado, I don't know if I watched those.
Three. They won two.
They were in three.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
JP.
Sorry. No, they were in. They lost. Wait.
They lost to the Niners. They got whooped. And they lost another one for sure. I think they lost two more.
And then
they beat the Packers, beat the Falcons, beat the Panthers.
I feel like the Giants.
I always forget that Falcons one.
Yeah.
The Giants beat them, I feel like.
The Giants did beat them.
Yeah.
The Redskins.
That was in the heyday of the Giants. That might have been over in the Rose Bowl, too.
You remember the 80s, the Giants and the Redskins were both.
They were terrific powerhouses. And the Eagles were kind of right around there with Jaworski at quarterback.
Oh, remember those days? I just remember the little later days with Cunningham and Fryer and Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons and Reggie White. I mean, they had some sick teams back in the day. Nice to see the Phillies or the Eagles finally making it back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, they didn't have a title for forever. Finally got one.
Got one in 2017.
Yep.
And, major props to Peterson. I know he's not their coach now. Sirianni is doing great, but really, look what he did. You know, he took them to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, and look what he's doing in in Florida.
Jacksonville was what, 2-0
Yeah,
and
he completely turned it around.
And they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they won a playoff game.
They did. They beat the Chargers after being 27 down.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
He looked great as a coach.
He did.
I mean, he made some incredible play calls at the end of that game. There was like a quarterback draw or something that he called that was just, and I can't remember if it was fourth down.
I think, yeah, there was some
was like
big fourth down play, though.
Yeah, like
he was a completely
run.
Solid call coach.
Yeah.
He doesn't worry. And he always plays for the win. Like, you know, not playing but to lose, plays to win.
Yes.
Because, like, the Philly special, wasn't that a fourth down play?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to hand it to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, what did he throw, 3 picks
four.
In the first half? 4 picks.
Yeah.
And for Peterson to stay with him.
Yeah.
You know, at halftime, like, this is the biggest game in Jacksonville in the last 25 years. Maybe in the history.
The whole key is that the Chargers are the Chargers. How long have we said that on this show? I mean.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad performance by the coach. Bosa, that guy, he lost the game for him.
He really did. That was a ridiculously dumb play.
And then later on, we saw the Bengals do this dumb play against Mahomes. Now, that one may not have mattered. I think the Chiefs were probably likely going to win that game. But they may not have gotten a chance to make a kick in regulation that way.
Exactly.
And it's like, what are you doing? I mean, like, I understand being aggressive. I understand continuing to play. But it's like, dude, how do you not notice that you're, like, four feet out of bounds?
You're that far out of bounds. You get that adrenaline rushing, and you're chasing Patty Mahomes, and next thing you know, you get blinders on. You're just looking at the back of him. I got
to
get him down.
There's a lot.
You got to feel bad for that guy.
About when you have a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, and I try to remember that. You know, it's also like when you see a player make a really dumb move in a college football or college basketball game, you're like, why would you foul a guy shooting a three-pointer when you're up by four? Like,
right.
There's no way for them to tie you up. But then you remember, well, I've been watching these games for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, like,
those are the mistakes I can stand for. It's the ones like that the coaching calls that they make in the NFL now where it's 4th and 11, and then they throw a 5-yard pass.
Right.
That just, I don't understand that. You know, what are those guys thinking?
Why is it more than one route?
Yeah.
Short? You know, it's like, look, if you have to have a what do they call it? Not a bailout, but what do they call that? When you have like a safety valve.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at these kids in college. You're down one. Why are you shooting a three-pointer? I just don't get
right.
That. So.
Yep. Same premise.
I think it's because some players – I think, honestly, there's a lot of players out there who are more comfortable with three-pointers than they are with normal shots.
Because that's what they practice,
right?
Yeah.
And they're like when you watch, like, Steph Curry, have you ever seen the, like, warm-ups of him or something like that where he's
oh,
stupid around? He's, like, at a full-court shot. And he shoots it like he's doing a layup. And I'm like, dude, how do you throw the ball that far?
Oh, he's standing right outside of the tunnel with no angle, and it'll just hit threes.
Seriously, how do you throw a ball that far when you're just doing it like that?
Repetition.
Reminds me of TK and our old softball teams. And when I used to play catcher, I'd see him. He played third base for us. Watching him throw the first looked effortless. It looked like he barely even moved his arm.
Yeah.
And that ball would just go 8 million miles an hour. Just amazing. Amazing. So the question I wanted to ask you guys, this applies to baseball as well as basketball, but it applies to basketball because of the biggest move, which I think everyone has to agree with, Phoenix, right? Getting JD or KD, even though I don't think KD, I think KD is overrated in some ways, but adding him to Booker and CP3, right, makes a pretty good trilogy. Now, I've heard the local radio say that our trilogy could probably match up with anybody. Maybe they can. I mean, Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
And then Jamal Murray and, you know, 2-time MVP should probably be a 3-time MVP.
Embiid got robbed.
Embiid has to be consistently great if he wants to actually get
that title.
I think
he did get robbed, though. He had quite a year.
He did. Yeah. You know,
Embiid last year?
Last 2 years,
But, I mean, you can't. I mean, were any of his numbers better than Jokic?
Almost exactly the same as Jokic.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he dominates games the way Jokic does.
Jokic because of supporting cast.
Yes.
Like, he in Philly, he's got, at least last year, he had a lot more, you know, pieces around him. So.
Well, does Embiid get a lot of assists?
He's a good passer. I don't think he's as good a passer as Jokic is.
No, he's not.
Jokic is like a next level passer. Yeah, that might be the best part of the game.
I think he's kind of like LeBron. He's a pass first player almost, really.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Because why not? Because that way, you know, you people should always be covering you, and then you can kick out for a, you know. And so if Gordon is open, or if Jamal is hitting, you know, Porter Jr., you know, like, it's just, you know, I hope he's healthy, right? And we have to hope that Jamal's knees, his other knee now is, like, causing issues. And, it feels like the quintessential a team that can't win, like the Nuggets, right? They've never won a title. I mean, I think they won an ABA title, not an NBA title. Right, exactly like the Vikings. And it's like they finally have this chance. They look like the best team in the league this year. It looks like they really could take the whole thing. And this is the year that every other team decides to make major moves, right? So the question I actually have for you guys, the Suns owner is this brand new guy, billionaire mogul. I think he's a real estate mogul, if I remember right. So he's got billions of dollars, just kind of like Stephen Cohen, who took over the Mets, got billions of dollars. They're saying like the Phoenix Suns had never paid more than $37 million in luxury tax over the entire span of the most recent owner, which I think was like 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy, this year, is looking to go about $68 million. Hey, Gizmo came here to say hi. Oh, he's running back out. He keeps too many people in here.
You're 100% right with that. You know, they've been very frugal in their spending down there, and this new owner, this billionaire, he's going to spend the money. Make note, they had a great run with that backcourt that they had. Was it last year or two years ago?
Oh, actually, they were two games up in the finals.
Yeah, that's right. It was last year. I'm sorry.
They were a good team. I saw the Nuggets. Actually, it was a playoff game. They destroyed them.
But we didn't have Jamal. We didn't have Porter.
True.
You know, it's like, and Gordon wasn't on his game the way he is this year now. So he's really blossomed, you know. But is it a good thing bringing these billionaire owners in? I mean, like billionaire owners for the Broncos, right? It's like, no. They haven't quite yet gone crazy with money, but it's only the first year. You know, like they just spent money on a coach, right? It was 18 to 20 million.
The GM's kind of fried all the cap space.
Yeah.
The Broncos?
Yeah.
I wonder if the Broncos had a ton of cap space.
Oh, do they? Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Because
they just don't have a ton of draft picks.
No draft picks.
That's a good point.
Because, I mean, 18 to 20 plus a first and a second.
Mm-hmm.
For Payton, because I mean, everyone has to remember Sean Payton was still under contract with New Orleans, the same. So they had to give up. So basically, the Chubb trade to get the first was to bring Sean Payton in, which, interesting enough,
it's cost them a lot of two first rounders next year,
but
two second rounders next year.
Now we'll get into Sean Payton
in a little bit.
It's cost them a lot.
Russell and Peyton?
Between the two of them?
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you just meant for Peyton. Just two picks.
For both of them. Yeah. Because they gave up a first next year for Russell.
Right.
Already.
Yep.
And then they had traded Vaughn away. Was that where they got the first round pick
Chubb.
From? Oh, Chubb. That's right.
Chubb to Miami.
That's right.
Which was going to be a late first rounder anyway.
Very late. What, 28 maybe? Where the Niners finished.
But still,
it came from Miami,
but
it was nice.
They would have at least had a first-round pick, you know.
Uh-huh.
No, they don't. So.
Well, they seem like they have a lot of talent, right? So, but we can talk about
that
part later.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
I mean, they are going to lose a couple of good defensive players, most likely. So,
the biggest question with KD is that we were talking about KD. You know, he couldn't win a championship in Oklahoma City. He went to the already established Golden State Warriors and wins. Now, he wanted to form a super team in Brooklyn, and he brought in Kyrie, he brought in James Harden, and they couldn't win. I think they had one playoff appearance in 3 years, and they couldn't get that to work together. So what does that tell you about KD in the offshoot right now, going, if he doesn't go to a winner, he might not be able to win one?
Well, I think that those people that have talked a lot of crap about LeBron James and, you know, his formation of kind of super teams. I don't know. Like, it kind of drives me crazy because you'll sometimes hear the old players talk about, oh, this is a bunch of crap. But then you look back at the Lakers in the 80s, and they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They had Magic. They had James Worthy. Like, that's not a super team.
Right.
Those three, the
How
Bulls.
About Celtics?
Yeah, the
Larry
Celtics.
Bird, Kevin
those
McHale.
Those starting five were all stars.
Yeah, but the one difference is – those players were all drafted into the organization.
The team was built by the GM.
Same with the Bulls, right? Yes, I mean, you can hate Jerry Krause all you want, but he did get Pippen in a great pickup trade.
Now, the one trade that you have to kind of look at later was the Dennis Rodman coming in from the Bad Boys. That was the one trade. Everything else was kind of brought into
I mean, the Spurs, you know, the Spurs weren't quite at that level yet. They were, you know, they just couldn't quite do it with the Admiral and with Sean Elliott, and they tried to bring in Rodman, didn't work.
Right.
Rodman then goes to the Bulls when Jordan comes back from his gambling hiatus, and, you know, the history of
things. I think you have to have somebody, you know, whether that's the coach or somebody on the team that's the team leader, with those egos, to manage those egos, right? Because, and you have to find a chemistry, like, you know, a guy like James Harden, when he came into that situation, he was sort of like the leading guy wherever he had been before. And now all of a sudden he has to take a back seat.
Or he wasn't the leading guy. Whenever he wasn't the leading guy, he left or got disgruntled quickly.
Sure.
But you got to wonder about two things, right? So that's one great –
Well, you just have to learn that there's a hierarchy. You know, that's why – honestly, that's why Kobe and Shaq had so much success.
What in the world is going on here?
Did we lose it?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Kobe and Shaq had so much success because Shaq let Kobe be the alpha dog.
Yeah.
You know, and then you saw that there was like a pecking order, you know, like with Michael Jordan, right?
Yes.
I mean, gosh, Pippen was a heck of a player. Actually won an MVP, I believe, after Jordan left. I don't know if he did or he was
damn close.
He did because remember, because Hakeem Olajuwon won both years that Jordan was gone. I think he went back to the MVP along with
his title. I got one. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, JP's got a computer.
Yeah. Either way, yeah, I mean, I think you have to have someone to manage these egos, right? Or figure out a way to, like, get the chemistry together. Because I think you had LeBron in Miami, for example, with those other two guys, with D-Wade and Bosch, right? And then he was kind of the alpha dog, and those guys were able to play a back seat and figure out a role.
Right.
Behind them. And that's a lot of the problem with these super teams is you bring in these guys that are alpha dogs.
Well, they need to buy into that part first. And I think they all think, I'll be the first guy. You'll be my backup. The other guy's like, no, I'll be the backup.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, if you didn't care, because that's the one thing the Golden State Warriors have done so well, right?
Yep.
None of them care who gets the glory. Now, of course, Steph's always going to get glory because the guy hits a billion threes. But, you know, he's perfectly fine to sit back and let Clay do it. He's certainly happy to let back in Wiggins do it. Let Draymond Green do it. Let whoever do it. What you got to wonder, or in retrospect, I guess, the thought of, do I get KD, who is a jump shipper and is not very loyal and doesn't seem to be a closer, right? Then you bring in James Harden, who, again, like you said, always wants to be the alpha dog. He was very unhappy in Oklahoma City when he was not.
I mean, I would say he was the best offensive player in the NBA for like a three-year stretch there.
Very well could have been.
Yeah. He was an incredible scorer.
But he also was taking a boatload of shots.
He was.
Kobe, you know, like just so much volume.
True.
But then you bring in that. So right there you've got a pair that you're like, well, I'm not sure this is going to work that great. Then you add into it Kyrie Irving's like Odell Beckham. Now, I know Odell did finally, you know, control himself and stuff in this last year to get that Super Bowl win. Props to him for growing up a little bit. Kyrie has not grown up. Kyrie's a nutcase. I mean, he believes in, you know, flat earth and all sorts of other nonsense. And he also, I mean, he has worn his welcome out severely everywhere he has been, right?
But man, is he good. He's got to be one of the top five players in the NBA. And in fact,
he's probably,
And I'll tell you what, I watched him the other night. He is maybe the most athletic, outside maybe like Ja Morant. He's probably one of the most athletic players in the NBA. He is just incredibly smooth out there. I mean, the guy he shoots a great jump shot. He knows when to pass the ball. He's a jerk. Don't get me wrong.
But
the guy is incredible. I'm telling you, he may not be a top five player, but he's right on the outside looking in.
I mean, I think he definitely was a top five player. I would say,
yeah,
he's got to be.
I think early 30s.
Yeah.
If I had to guess. But he's lost maybe half a step.
I'm wondering because he's got to be. Because, I mean, my gosh, he was in Cleveland before LeBron came back, and then all those years while LeBron was there.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching him and LeBron playing together in the finals.
Yeah.
You know? And, man, he was – as good to watch as
– Irving was the only reason they came back from that.
Yeah, I mean, he is a really underrated player in my opinion. I don't like Guy very much. I think he's – like I said, I think he's a jerk. But he is really talented. And putting him in Dallas with Luka, those guys now have two of maybe the top six players in the NBA their team. I would say Phoenix and Denver need to watch out for those two teams, or for that team and those two guys.
Yeah, that's a good piece. So Pippen was a candidate but never won the MVP.
He never won. Yeah.
But you got a good point there because, you know, Cuban with that move with Kyrie getting in there, that forms one formidable team now.
It's a nasty duo right there.
It really is. So, I mean, it was a good move. Cuban pulled off a great move there by getting him. And then, of course, you know, Durant in the vision of the Nets, we're not going to move Durant. And, you know, 12 hours later, breaking news on SportsCenter, KD goes to the Suns. So as it always happens.
That amazes me how much pull those players have in the NBA. They say, I want to trade, and within a month they're traded almost every time.
So I apologize. Irving is 30.
Yeah.
So he's got a while.
Yeah, yeah. Guys are having success, you know, into their late 30s.
Yeah. Well, so Durant's 34.
Yeah, he's
34. So you have to think about the Suns. With a ballsy move. Because they gave up a boatload of talent.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up two players that are both good.
And they're paying a lot of money.
And a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they gave away a bunch of picks.
Yep.
So, four first-rounders.
Yeah, four
and
first
a swap rounders. In 2028 or 29 when Durant will be retired and Booker will be 30-something. So, it's like, you know, the Phoenix Suns probably won't be great then. So, Phoenix is obviously selling out to win now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. The Dodgers, that's how they did their whole rebuild when they got purchased by whomever owns them now. They bought like crazy. Didn't end up winning the Super or a World Series from those purchases, but they spent a lot of money on players while they built their farm system. And that goes back to that billionaire question. I think you have to be uber wealthy to really compete now because you have to be able to buy now and stockpile for the future. Like the Rockies are never going to buy big scouts. They're never going to buy really good healthcare teams and things like that. They're just never going to spend that kind of money.
What do you mean by compete? Because I think there's a lot of, you know,
have a chance to win a title.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because you look at baseball, there's a lot of mid-market teams or small-market teams that have had success. Like Tampa Bay, I mean, they've been in the playoffs almost every year for the last 5 or 6 years. They're constantly there. St. Louis Cardinals, they're a very successful team. They're a small market to mid market team, you know the Brewers.
But yeah, I was going to say the Phillies. The Phillies, their last World Series was in 2008. They played Tampa.
Yeah,
that was the Tampa series.
Wasn't Philly in the World Series last year?
The last World Series they won.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry. I caught myself short there.
That was Roy Halladay.
Yes, Roy Halladay.
Cliff Lee. Right?
Ryan Howard.
Big Ryan Howard.
And Jimmy Rollins. Who was the third
James
baseman?
Victorino. The Flying Lion.
Who was their third baseman? Was that Rollins?
Scott Rollins was there for a little bit.
Oh, no. Rollins went.
Didn't they have a big-time third baseman?
I forget who it was.
Yeah, who was it?
But they had
Let's go look that up.
Mike Schmidt?
No. they had
they had Ryan Howard at first base.
Ryan Howard.
Yeah. I can't remember who the third baseman was. I feel like it was somebody big.
It's alluding me.
Yeah, you know, they had Utley, Rollins, and Howard. That was a big
trio.
Oh, who was the catcher? Was it Dalton? No, that's the one.
It wasn't a touch.
Krupp, no, he was also the older one.
Krupp always dropped the ball.
Dude, I'll never forget when Krupp was on David Letterman after they'd won the World Series, you know, and he had retired. And he's like, so what do you do all day? He's like, well, I sleep until 11. I'm going to get up, go to the couch, have a beer. he's just like, man, somebody's living the life for the rest of their life. So anyway, so back to basketball. So do we think the Mavericks and or the Suns, have they both jumped the Nuggets in probability? I mean, I think in Vegas they have, but in your minds, what do you think?
So for me, there's that question of chemistry, right, and the ego. So, you know, there's only like 25 games left in the season.
Yeah.
Denver is adding pieces. So to me, it's like they've already kind of established their chemistry. They've got their parts kind of in working motion. I feel like that's a big advantage for them. You know, here comes KD into Phoenix, that big ego. What role is he going to play? And it could take them all 25 games to kind of figure that out. So I think the talent's there, obviously, with Dallas and Phoenix, you know, with those guys making the switch over, Irving and Durant. But, again, we talked about these guys and managing their egos. Both have shown that they can't have success because, you know, we saw what happened in New Jersey.
Right.
We saw what happened in Brooklyn, you know. So I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in those two guys. I would put a little more faith in Dallas just because – you know, Luka is such an incredible player.
Yeah.
Not that Booker's bad, but Luka's incredible. And I think those two matching up together could be a good fit and maybe play the biggest threat to the Nuggets, in my opinion.
Is CP3 too old?
Not yet.
Not yet. No.
Is that one more good, two years maybe?
One or two.
I think, one or two.
Okay. You know? So I guess the other question is, does Dallas have enough role players outside of those two stars, or do they need one?
I don't know. Those two guys are pretty dynamic.
I mean, those two could put up a good 70 points a night.
Yep.
Right?
Easily.
Yep.
So
it's going to be interesting to see how that Dallas team does come together, you know, mm-hmm. if they have enough of the pieces in the backcourt.
They will need somebody to step up into that third person.
They need an inside scorer, mm-hmm. you know. But, I guess, is it – how do you say his name? Is it Luka Doncic?
Doncic.
Doncic?
Yeah.
Doncic.
Donuts. I don't know. I'm terrible with the Eastern European name. So how about the Nets? So, I mean, obviously the Nets aren't going to compete now, but did the Nets make out on the deal?
Four first-round picks.
From the KD trade.
In the long run, they made out on the deal. Right now, they're going to be terrible. I mean, if you look at Ben Simmons,
they're one of the worst.
Well, teams. So they got Ben Simmons and they got Seth Curry. Right.
Which I wish the Sixers would have never let go of Seth Curry.
But they picked up two good young players from the Suns, and when they made the trade with trading away Kyrie, they got two nice young players from Dallas. It's like, they got four good players. They got a second round pick.
They got four
first rounders and a first round swap when Phoenix should be bad.
Yeah,
might be a smart move.
Oh yeah, I would say they got plenty of capital.
Oh yeah.
It's just how
the question is, how early are those first round picks,
and how well did they spend them? Right.
Like, right.
But we got to realize the position the Nets were in, is, you know, those guys just weren't doing what they were brought in to do.
No.
I mean, it just you had to make a move on something.
And in the long run, you're probably like, you know, you probably saved yourselves a good 5 years of misery.
Oh, gotcha.
Where these guys are getting super old. They had just signed Durant to an extension. You know, Kyrie was a few more years. Simmons has been a disaster. I don't even know what they got for Harden. Was that all they got with Simmons? Is Harden for the 76ers now?
Yeah, Harden's on the
76ers.
He just came back from injury.
So the Sixers could be a sneaky.
Was great. Like I said, I wish they would have never got rid of Steph Curry.
In my opinion, they're still the third best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, Boston number one and above.
Boston up and above number one. I think Milwaukee number two.
Milwaukee made a big snag. I forget who they got, but they made an they got Jake Crowder.
That's right.
That's a huge pickup to pair with Giannis, who's obviously a stud. So
yeah,
I mean, but I know Wilbon was big on Boston still, and I trust Mike Wilbon's basketball knowledge. I don't care what Stephen A. says about anything because I think he's the dumbest sportscaster I've ever listened to. But he is all on the
he gets paid to be a personality. That's what he is. He was a Philly beat writer. You know, he spent 13 years as Philly beat writer.
Oh really?
Oh yeah,
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, he's straight out of Philly. He covered all the Philly.
Yeah, you got to hand it to the guy. He's carved out a role for him.
I don't begrudge him for making himself. I just don't like his. I don't like his commentary at all. It's like Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless is the same thing. He's made a name for himself by being outrageous, but his takes are just absolute garbage.
So they're hard. They're hard.
But then again, I guess
it doesn't help that he has like one of the biggest punchable faces in all of that.
Well, did you say Mike Greenberg?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I like about Mike Greenberg. He's a Northwestern guy. He's a journalism major. Uh-huh. He was the beat writer for the Bulls during all those years.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And him and his wife have come out with children books. And that's why I'm surprised you don't like him, because he's actually a real journalist.
I think he's a nice guy. I'm sorry. I'm not saying I don't like him.
You're not a fan of his radio host.
Well, you know why?
To be very specific, radio host.
Right.
He might
have played that role.
He sort of plays a character, right, with his radio, his talk show host.
It's Get Up Now.
I think he talked about when he was on with Golan.
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be the average fan.
Yes, yeah. He kind of had to play this character, right? he's a good journalist. He's fun to listen to.
And he runs a great show with Get Up Now.
He does. You know,
on ESPN, comes on at on Mountain Time. Comes on.
He's an everyman sort of.
He really is. He's just your average Joe Schmo from Northwestern. You know, he's a geek that really didn't play sports and started to cover him.
Well, it's really interesting how him, Golic, and I guess you could almost say in a way, Berman, although Berman's been set back for years now.
Yeah.
And the other one would be who's the bald guy? Scott. Yeah, who does the SportsCenter shows.
Yeah.
How did those guys be the ones who ESPN kept? Yet ESPN dropped Olbermann. They dropped Dan Patrick.
They dropped
the Professor John Clayton. They dropped
these
great
political
guys.
It really is.
I don't know.
It comes down to that. I mean, ESPN just lost somebody up in a club head. I don't remember who it was.
But remember that rash of firings 12 years ago?
Yes, I think I don't want to speculate, but yeah, there was a rash of firings out of ESPN.
They lost a lot of good reporters.
They really
Erin Andrews was part of that too.
Yeah, she jumped over to Fox.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite sideline reporters.
Colin Cowherd.
Yeah,
I mean, lost a ton of people. I mean, they were not all in the exact same time, but they were all within a block of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just came down to prices started going up, and Disney went nope. Nope, we can replace you. We did it before. We'll do it again. And it's like, you really didn't. These guys are not as good as the people you had.
Well, you got to see the other thing. And right then is where a lot of the women start to show up in broadcasting. You know, we all know who's the lady on GMA? Diane Roberts?
Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts. I'm sorry. I even watched that show.
She was the first big star.
She was
the
first big star. She was on the ESPN.
So they don't get SportsCenter. They didn't
I think the whole letting those guys go is when the women started to fluctuate into more of the ESPN role. It's really because ESPN, I think, knew they had to start getting more of the women involved. It's really
Michelle Beal, right? They brought on with Colin Cowherd.
Michelle
Beal,
she's a great person. Rachel Nichols came on around there doing the NBA stuff.
Yeah.
And, ESPN,
I didn't think about that. I feel like that came out. I feel like that came later.
It came a little bit later.
But I think that was part of the
With Disney and ESPN, I think they saw that they needed to get the women more involved. And not to mention that you put some good eye candy in front of guys.
Right.
I mean, we're going to tune in.
Right.
Like I said, Erin Andrews is one of my favorite sideline reporters because she's great at it. But, dude, it's eye candy. I mean, if I could pick a girl to go on a date with right now, I'd be calling Andrew Jeff.
So then you have, is it Michelle Nichols? Who's the one that does Sunday Night Football?
Is that Carissa Thompson?
Sunday Night Football on NBC?
It's not Michelle Nichols?
Maybe it is.
She's older. Not getting older. I mean, probably our age, but.
It's NBC. I can't remember.
Whoever works, because if Al Michaels went to Amazon, Thursday Night Football with Tariqa? Or no, Tariqa's Sunday Night.
He went to Hertree.
Oh, that's right. Didn't hurt. Tariqa went with Chris Collinsworth on Sunday. I'm actually one of the very few people who doesn't hate Chris Collinsworth. I mean, every time I'm on a text chain with these guys on the Night Football, oh my God! I'm just like, I think he's just kind of goofy, you know? But
he's more than goofy.
Well, I like people that, like, same reason I like Madden. I just like a guy that sounds like he could just be a dude you could just be sitting and bullshitting with and not being real super specific or correct.
I'll give you that.
You know, he's just a goofball, you know. So anyway, back to basketball. So any other big move? Oh, so the Lakers, the Clippers. Clippers pick up Eric Gordon, right?
Yeah.
So that's a nice backcourt guy to add. He's getting a little bit old, but still good. They pick up Mason Plumlee, good guy. And then they got Bones Highland from the Nuggets. Now, that was a big screw-up on Bones Highland's part. If he could have just kept his mouth shut, he'd have moved into a starting role eventually with the Nuggets. What do you got going?
I've got a text from Anderson. Chris Collinsworth sucks.
Like I said, every time we're on Facebook, you guys are all hating on him.
We got one listener.
There we go. And then the Clippers, you got the both Highlands. The Nuggets only got 2 second-round picks for him. But you know what? I read the most amazing stat yesterday. Listen to this.
They're good in the second round.
No.
Oh.
Two teams have their own first-round pick this offseason. That's it.
Wow.
The Knicks and – trying to think of the other team.
All the rest of them
might have been the Cavaliers.
Traded away?
Have been traded away. Now, not this year. But teams have been trading first-round picks in future years and swaps, you know, like the guaranteed swaps, whatever, and the non-protected picks for so many years now. There's only two teams with their original picks in the entire NBA.
That's the NBA way. That's what we're seeing. That's how all these moves, we keep seeing all these moves by these major players. You're going to have a lot of swapping picks going every single which way you can go.
Yeah.
Now, that's just the trend in the NBA.
That is why you saw a boatload of second-round picks being traded in this thing, because there were no first-round picks.
Yeah.
It was hard to come up with a first-round pick. So, you know, it's just really interesting that's become a big time currency, because how many players, I'm not saying there's none. Obviously, there are. A second-round pick in the NBA, I mean, anything outside the top 10 in the NBA is suspect. Anything outside the top 3 is actually kind of suspect.
Jokic.
Yeah. But most of the European guys you're going to be getting in the second round that aren't as well-known, you know?
Sure.
But then you think back to the Carmelo year, right, when the Pistons took Darko Milicic. What a disaster of them. I mean, they could have had Carmelo. I know Carmelo's not that good. He didn't – his career was nothing near – like, for some reason, he couldn't be the player. He wasn't Syracuse.
He's a Hall of Famer, though, don't you think?
Oh, I wouldn't put him anywhere near the Hall of Fame. Personally.
Yeah.
I don't know basketball that well. I don't watch much. I watch the Nuggets, and that's it. And since the Nuggets are only on 6 times a year because of the altitude thing – I don't really watch much basketball.
Yeah, he's had quite a career.
Carmelo's had really quite a year.
He's borderline Hall of Fame.
Borderline Hall of Fame. Yeah.
I think so, because I just thought he was a scorer, but he never learned how to play defense. He was never much of a facilitator.
Man, that Stan Kroenke really pisses me off.
I can't
watch the goddamn Avalanche. I can't watch Nuggets.
And what was so frustrating is he's doing all this while the teams are great.
Yeah.
So he's winning with the – I don't know if the Arsenal are winning or not, but they're winning. They won with the Rams.
They're doing well.
You know, the Avalanche won a title last year. They could win another one this year. Nuggets
are
the best team
in the
last
spot right now. Lindstall got hurt by the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They're 500 right now.
Yeah,
they're a little over 500.
McKinnon was out. It's been out for a long time too, right? Yeah.
So you got to give him a huge amount of credit, right? I mean, they're within lean years.
Yeah.
But he really has put together some very good teams. But he stays out of it, right? He's like, he's an owner who knows what he's doing. It's like, you know what? I hire good people who know what they're doing.
Quit messing with the TV stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's why we don't like
that. That's my biggest complaint.
That really
pisses
me
off. Dude, it's so annoying.
I can't watch the Rockies, during the day because they're blacked out for whatever reason. It's just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Now, that is something, and I think they just recently signed a new TV deal, so it's not going to get rectified. That is something they need to fix. Does not be able to stream your local team when you have an NBA or MLB TV or something like that. So you tell me I have to have local cable. You know, it's not even the freaking it's not even the antenna, because I have an antenna. I still can't watch any games. It's all altitude, which is like, I think Fubo TV is the only one that has it. Maybe
I don't even know.
There's one streamer that has altitude, but it's like it's a terrible service and it costs a fortune, right?
Dick Montfort.
Oh man, I just feel like you live in Colorado. Even Colorado teams are not your favorite ones. If you live here, right? It's like it's always fun to have your local teams be really good.
Yeah.
And to not be able to enjoy them,
it's just
brutal.
You know, if I want to watch the Avs, I got to go over to like JL Cheers next door, and I'd hate that place. It's just a seedy, crappy bar.
Well, man, I go to sleep so early. I'm tired so early. I don't want to go to a bar at 8 o'clock at night. Because I'm in bed at like 9:30.
I know.
You know, it's like, but I mean, I'd like to watch them on my phone as I'm going to bed. You know?
I got a nice comfortable couch. I'd like to sit and watch. Oh, by the way, the third television that I got in 2008 finally kicked the bucket.
When
I was in Pennsylvania, it worked before I went. And the picture is starting to go a little bit. Sorry. But when I came back, it didn't turn on.
Why did you say sorry?
I interrupted the conversation.
I just
thought of my old Polaroid, 2008 Polaroid TV, which had one of the most insanely crisp pictures I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Kick the buggy.
Did you get your new TV, Nate?
Today, buddy.
You did. Congrats.
Well, I haven't bought it yet. I gotta go get one.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got like two or three that I like, so I'm gonna go to Costco.
Nice.
They have some sort of deal going on.
Because you guys all remember the big plasma TVs that I had out there for years.
I mean,
it never stopped working. I got to get Samsung's huge crib. That thing worked forever. By the time I got rid of it, it looked like a fat compared to what it is now, right?
That thing blew off some heat, didn't it?
Dude, I never turned on my heater for like 7 or 8 years in that apartment because of that TV. I mean, it would heat the entire apartment. And that was being on for like 3 hours.
Yeah, you know. I have a Panasonic plasma that I've had almost as long as you had that.
That's just wild how long they last. You know, it's like, for all the people talking about crappy quality and stuff, it's like, boy, not the TVs, man.
Who would have thought Polaroid would make a TV that lasted from 2008 to...
I didn't even know they made TVs.
It's one of the only years they did. It's like Kodak. You know, it's like, are they even still around? You know, it's like, I guess so. So, yeah. But, yeah, so I mean, it's a frustration thing with the TV situation with Colorado.
Yeah, it's and everybody, if you have the right channel or the right provider, you love it. If you don't, it's just like, I'm not going to have it anymore.
Right.
I just don't want to do that anymore.
So there's a couple of other deals that happened. I don't think any of them are major. I mean, the Nuggets picked up a nice backup center.
Yep.
The 76ers picked up Jalen McDaniels. Nice, but, you know, again, a nice role player. You know,
the Lakers made some moves.
They picked up D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley.
They also got Mo Bamba.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, he's a really good big man for the Heat. They got him, and then, they got rid of Westbrook.
Yeah. Right. Now, they are ranked, are they 13th in the league?
Yeah, around
in
that.
Is there definitely a conference, I guess?
Yeah, I think they're just outside the play-in.
Yeah.
So
they need to do something, because it's like, it's amazing to think that they won a freaking NBA title.
Let's put that in context, though. That was the bubble title.
What does that mean?
How did they win?
Was it just injuries everywhere else and people not playing?
Because
they haven't even been competitive.
You're in a bubble with no crowd, no home crowd advantage for the other team. You're on the road. You're in the bubble.
They had the screens up in the stands.
Just like Tampa Bay when they won in the bubble. I call it bubble hockey. Bubble hockey in the bars. But
Tampa won back-to-back titles, right?
They did, but they won back-to-back titles. The next season was only 50 games, so it wasn't a full season.
So the grind was shorter.
So they won the bubble hockey tournament, and then they did the shortened season Stanley Cup. See, that's right there is where you look at the Avalanche on. Now they won the full. The Avalanche just won the full season cup.
Yeah,
that's why now granted, Tampa just housed the Avalanche 5-0 last night. But you look at those two titles gone. Well, you never won a title playing full season in those 2 years.
I think the Avalanche have made it to, because they had that chain around their neck, right, with the losing early in the playoffs in the second round. Finally got past the Blues, and they just rolled the rest of the way, right? And I think the Nuggets, the Avalanche, just aren't really able to turn it on yet. I think they need more excitement, more on the line.
They got rid of some of the key pieces.
I'm sure they lost some good players.
Like I said, Landeskog has been injured since the start of the season.
Right.
McKinnon was out for a long time.
They've had a rough season so far when it comes to injuries.
Who's the really young defense? Is it McCarr? Is that the super stud?
Yeah, Cale McCarr.
So it looks like he might be like a con, or not a con, but what's the MVP trophy?
Oh boy!
Is that the MVP or is that the winning the most games in the season?
Oh God! I'm drawing a blank here.
I think the Conn Smythe is the MVP.
Yeah, I think
okay.
Yeah. But again, I don't know.
This
should be on the tip of my tongue.
It's so cool that the NHL actually has names.
That's the thing. All those trophies are so ancient from back in like the early 1900s.
It's like in college football. Yeah. Right, it's like you get the Dick Butkus Award.
Yeah.
You got all these players. It's like
giving
credence to the guys who laid the groundwork to make.
Yeah, and that's always been a good thing, though.
Because you got to think like, what is going on with sports? Like, if you really think about it, 15, 20 years ago, like salaries were not that crazy, right? Mm-hmm. They weren't making all that kind of money and stuff. Now these teams, like their salary caps are $250 million a year, and I know they get a lot of that revenue from TV. Where's TV getting that money?
Commercials.
Advertising.
Yeah.
So is that why everything costs so much money? But outside of the inflation we've had from COVID.
Oh, yes.
So how much are people spending on advertising budgets?
They're spending a lot. I heard yesterday for 30 seconds, per 30-second slot in the Super Bowl, it's $7 million.
Makes sense.
But how scary is it that most companies, $7 million, is like, oh, okay.
Well, that's nothing to most companies.
For
Coca-Cola, that's like going into the urinal and pissing.
As an hour of the revenue. How are they making so much money? How do we do that? Hey, we got to figure this out, guys. I want to be a multi-bazillionaire.
I want my own private jet company.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. What's a niche that's not filled, you know? But who knows? So the last thing before we hop off of basketball, LeBron breaks the all-time scoring record. That, you know, gives him, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for the fact that he stayed healthy for the most of his career.
Yeah.
And that he consistently scores,
mm-hmm.
but he's never been a top scorer really in the league because he's always facilitating. So this is a very long-term achievement,
right?
An amazing achievement. Now, I agree with everything I've read about it. That does not really put him in the discussion for GOAT. I don't think he's the greatest of all time.
No.
I think he's in the discussion for top three, top five.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, to me, nothing. I can't imagine anything coming close to Jordan ever. That's just me personally.
Jordan is the king of Mount Rushmore. I mean, it just has to be that way.
I think Kobe was,
Kobe,
you know.
Now, we got to understand
in
something.
The mold of Jordan.
Every single time we talk about this with the Jordan era versus, like, the LeBron era, we got to talk about the physicality of the game. Because when Jordan played, they were real rough fouls. Now, it's a touch foul.
I think Jordan would score the way Curry does. If he was
around
now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, 40 points a season every season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How close is Curry to behind LeBron?
I'm guessing the ways because Curry had some injuries.
And how old is he?
Is Curry 32?
I don't know. I'm looking up how long Kareem's.
That's the only player I can think of that might be able to break LeBron's record.
Yeah.
Maybe Luka.
I'm just trying to think of like who would be my top five. It's a question that, you know. You can't really do it on the spot because you'll miss something.
Your top five players?
Yeah.
In the NBA?
No, ever.
Oh, ever, yeah.
In the NBA.
Yeah, sure.
Or ABA.
You almost have to go by position.
Right, just take a best of each position almost.
Yeah, almost.
And shooting guard is always going to be the hardest one, right? And then center is always going to be tough because you got – because of the difference in the playing time that JP was bringing up about the physicality.
Let's put it in context real quick. With Kareem, he had a 20-year career. 20-year on the dot.
Yep.
So for you, he was a first round pick out of UCLA in 1969, and then he played from 69 to 89 in the NBA.
And he was like 40 something when he retired, right?
He was pretty old, man.
He had that old look. And he was when did he change to Kareem from Lew Alcindor?
Oh, that would have been
mid 70s, early 70s.
I was gonna say it was like partway into his NBA career, though, right? When
I think
college?
Kareem's rookie year. I know this because of cards, but it was 69.
Okay.
And he was Lew Alcindor. And I think it was within the first, like, 3 or 4 years, I think, that he made the change. Maybe, it may be five.
Cool. But, no, I was just curious.
Yeah. I'm reading his Wikipedia page here, and I'm trying to figure out when he...
I would guess right around 74, 76 to that area.
So before we jump topics, and next topic we're going to do, we're going to actually do a quick rundown. We won't spend a lot of time on it. But we are going to do a quick rundown of the top 12 prospects for dynasty draft and fantasy football. We've gotten big into dynasty football. It's unbelievably entertaining. And talking about the fact that like only two teams in the NBA have their own first round pick. If you look at our dynasty league's draft this year, so it'll have all the players with their picks, right? Or the GMs with their picks. We got 14 teams, but then you'll see a little white thing on the bottom of a pick if it's been traded to another team. More than half
the
pick.
There's
the first round
alone.
A
handful of people that have the original pick.
Yeah. I mean, the first round, you have at least two.
I got Rigner three.
And then Rigner has four, right?
I don't know. I got three, and I think he has three.
Yeah. So, I mean,
somebody else has three, too.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well,
yeah.
Now I just traded for the number two pick.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And that's a big reason why I want to get JP's input. Before we do that, why don't we answer that trivia question? Now,
sure.
I think Nate and I both had the same guess, which was Steve Young. Do you want to populate anybody else out there?
Yeah, let me read it again just in case somebody's
sure
here. Who is the only quarterback to rush for more than one touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, one. I mean, Russell, I think, was a good guess, but I don't think he scored.
I think Marshawn ended up taking
it. If I have to pick somebody, I'd go Steve Young, but I think Elway would be my second.
I'm going to take Steve Young off the table.
Okay.
Just to, for you to
so,
make it fair.
His
record is 6 passing touchdowns.
Steve
Young. Hey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm
going to
take that off the table, Steve.
How about this? Because of the QB sneak proficiency of these teams, was it Tom Brady?
That's actually not a really bad. They love the sneak Brady, but it's not.
Okay. So it's not Brady. So it's not Steve Young.
It's got to be somebody we're not thinking of.
Probably, right?
Well, it's somebody obscure, right? Like somebody that you aren't thinking of. That's going to be my guess.
All right, so and it's not Elway?
Nope.
Okay, so how about you give us a hint? Can you tell us the decade?
It was in the 80s.
All right.
So not Montana, not Aikman.
Now, Montana had two rushing touchdowns in two Super Bowls, though. So he had the rushing touchdown, one and one.
Yeah. So not Montana. What's what was the Chicago Bear quarterback in the 80s?
Oh, McMahon.
McMahon. Could it have been him?
Oh, really?
You got it.
Seriously?
Jimmy Mack.
Gosh, I would have thought, you know, Richard Perry, or not Richard Perry, but Refrigerator Perry had more touchdowns than
Walter Payton never got a touchdown on that game.
He never got one? Wow. No, Lynn Swann was a Pittsburgh player. Who were the receivers for Chicago back then?
Oh, good God.
No, I don't remember if it really mattered. Was Ditka on that team, or was he already? He was already a coach.
He was a coach. He was a coach. Yeah.
He was fighting for them, right?
He jumped a generation there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, the older I get, the more all the older players kind of compress.
Ditka was the coach, and Buddy Ryan was the defensive coordinator.
Oh, Buddy
and
Ryan.
And they carried off the field after the game.
Buddy Ryan
went over to Philly then.
I forgot about Buddy Ryan.
Oh,
wow.
He passed away a couple years ago.
Dick
versus
the Hurricane. Good question, man. We weren't even close. So, well done. All right, so on to Dynasty Draft. So, JP, different sites have a little bit of a different agreement on players. The top two are pretty consistent with Bijan Robinson. In fact, our league mate Chavez intentionally tanked this year to get Bijan. Well, his team wasn't doing so well, so he made some trades, got himself some very nice stock. I mean, he's got a lot of picks coming up the next few years. He'll be remaking that team a lot. But he's definitely taking Bijan. I guess there's no even debate about it.
If he's there, you got to take him.
Unless he trades
The thing with Bijan
is... Can you imagine what you'd have to offer him to get Bijan?
The only thing with Bijan is he's never had that really... Heisman stand down. Bijan's just been consistent.
And who does he play for? Is he Texas? Okay.
Yep. I think Anderson likes him because he thinks that the Eagles are going to draft him.
Ringer said that or Gibbs. He thinks one of those two will end up on the Eagles because Sanders and I don't think it's Gainwell, but Scott. Yeah, they're both free agents.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so. So that'd be a nice replacement for him. So I don't think we have any doubt that Robinson will be a good player.
Yeah.
Like I said, Gibbs is like number two on almost every board I've read, and that was kind of why I went for that pick. So I actually traded away the player that I used a second round, my number two overall pick for 2 years ago, Kyle Pitts. I could regret it in the end. Kyle Pitts is still young.
Yeah, he is.
He has never had a great quarterback.
Definitely not.
Not had a great coach.
Nope.
So, I mean, we don't know what the future holds for him. But I can tell you, after 2 years, I've been extremely frustrated with the production.
A lot of this, like I said, it's never too early to start talking about, especially when you're having a dynasty draft or rookie draft. It's never too early to start talking about this because when you get to draft day in the NFL, when you look at these teams and these players here, you got to realize where they're going to go and where they're headed. The coaches, the QB is like Kyle Pitts. Got very unlucky going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's you got to figure all that in is where do they go? Where do they sit? And you have to make that determination. Are they going to produce?
I mean, the guy who gave me the number two overall pick, and he also gave me Evan Ingram. Who's the Jacksonville tight end? Ingram?
Yeah.
And he's been doing really well. So, and I already have two good tight ends. They're not, you know, elite, but they're good. And so I'm like, I've got to start getting younger because I'm not going to be able to trade away because I traded for Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara next year. Or last year. So I think they'll still have a couple of good years in them, but I don't think there's any way I'm going to trade them for the value that I traded away for them, you know? So I was like, I need to do something. And I still got Saquon, so, you know.
We've got to convey how important running back is in that league.
Yeah.
Is it 14 people that we have in that?
Correct.
So,
and four flex I think it is.
Four flex.
So two wide receivers, two tight ends.
I like what Anderson's doing because he has a glut of young running backs. Like, some of them mm-hmm. might be questionable.
So you guys just giving the Andersons strategies away here on the air?
Well, it was the first time he finally did something.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, he's always been dominant in fantasy sports, but in the Dynasty League, his team they were decent, but they just weren't that competitive. But he also got really screwed because one of his early picks was Andrew Luck.
Oh.
So you're thinking, I got quarterback sewn up for the next 12 years.
Oh, God.
And the guy basically gave him one season.
Well, I mean, he had a lacerated freaking
kid. Oh, I'm not blaming him.
I know.
And actually, did you watch it? Have you seen the 30 for 30 special on Andrew Luck?
I have not yet. I really want to.
He is a great one, and he has not regretted.
No, he's not one second. I mean,
He lives in like a Midwest area,
okay.
But he likes to go fishing, and he likes to go hiking, and he likes to go biking. His wife is like a super healthy influencer or whatever, or works for some of those places and stuff. And so if I kept playing football, I may not be able to do any of this stuff. And his kids were like 2 years old. He's like, I'm not be able to play with my kids.
Well, I mean, on the NFL awards the other night, I mean, you look at some of these old-time guys walking out, they look like they didn't have a clue where they were.
It's scary, isn't it?
It is. I looked at that. I can only remember what guy it is. I just got home at that point, and I put the second TV on mute, and I was watching something else on the first one. And I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, good Lord. I'm like, he looks like he doesn't have a – he's just like – I'm like, he doesn't look – he looks like he's in
– A lot of them
the counter
have that look. Yep, they have that kind of –
scary.
Yeah. I mean, Aikman is one of the ones that, one of the few that seems like he hasn't lost,
right.
You know, cognitive function. But maybe he's a quarterback, and he didn't have a lot of concussions, but I feel like he had a couple of big ones.
He has a ton of concussions.
So that's interesting.
And
he
has one of the best 1,000-yard stares of all time. He has one of the best 1,000-yard stares of all time.
Yeah, like looking into the distance.
Yeah, like he can be on TV, and you're like, is he engaged right now?
Oh, he sounds pretty good.
No, he sounds all right, but he doesn't always look it.
Interesting. I guess I didn't really pay attention to what it looked like. I'm usually playing a game when I got TV on.
Yeah, sure.
So, interesting. Yeah, but yeah, it is sad to think. So do you think Gibbs, what's your prognostication for him?
Well, I mean, Gibbs is really, his really come-out game was against Georgia this year when they gave Georgia that stare. You know,
In the championship?
No, just in
their rivalry game.
Because Georgia's
right.
Yeah, that's a rivalry game for Georgia. The Georgia Tech, it's out of conference rivalry. That was really because they gave Georgia scare in that game. There's no mistake about it. I mean, Georgia was favored by 30 or something.
But I think it's all fit, like you said, right? Like Gibbs. I mean, if the Eagles get him, oh my gosh, he could be a great player.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden he's fits into this system, you know. And
he's a really good receiving back, right?
Yeah, he's got good hands. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's like...
Turn him into a LaDainian Tomlinson type with,
catches. You know, all these lists are great. It comes down to what team did they get drafted by.
I agree. Yeah, that could change a lot of things.
Eagles, unbelievable offensive line. You know, now look at Najee this year. Steelers, they didn't have a quarterback. They didn't plan for the future when Roethlisberger retired.
Kenny looks good.
I think Pickett's got a shot.
They need offensive line.
He's got a shot, but they need an offensive line.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that might have happened.
He's like a Dak-type player or even like a Kirk Cousins-type.
Dak's legacy took a hit this year, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was on an upward trajectory, and now suddenly it's like, boy, when it came down to crunch time, you couldn't do anything.
I think they missed Amari Cooper.
I'll say this right now. The Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as their quarterback.
You've been saying that since they drafted him.
Well, I know.
And he's right. Here
is the other thing, though. Dak Prescott, broke 62 records at Mississippi State?
I have no idea.
Name any of the quarterbacks that he took the record from without Google searching it.
I couldn't
couldn't do it. Now, the quarterback they have there now already broke practically half of
Brett
record.
Is that where Brett Favre went?
No, he's Southern Miss.
Southern Miss.
Did you know Brett Favre won 3 back-to-back MVP awards? I don't remember him being that good. I mean, he was a gunslinger, you know, miraculous, but it's like he won 3 in a row.
Oh, he was talented. Yeah. He was like Dan Marino, you know?
Dan Marino only won one.
He didn't win a Super Bowl.
No, one MVP award.
Oh,
won 3 in a row.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys that have done that.
Dan only went to one Super Bowl, too, the first time.
So, little soapbox moment, and I want to get your guys' input on this. I am extremely frustrated with MVP voting in the NFL.
I would agree with you.
I feel like the MVP award should be renamed Best Quarterback Award.
That's pretty much right on. I mean, Jalen Hurts, before he got hurt, was right there in that conversation. I mean,
he was.
Yeah,
and
he was the favorite.
Derrick Henry, Pat rushes for 2,000 yards, doesn't get the MVP. That was a travesty. Cooper Kupp, breaks records that Jerry Rice had and doesn't get the MVP. This year, Justin Jefferson has one of the most prolific years at wide receiver you've ever seen. He was right behind – or did he break Randy Moss's record? I think he broke it, didn't he? And I won it for game, but he broke it, I think.
Calvin Johnson has the record for the season.
Well, there was some record of Randy – maybe it was a team record that he broke?
Team record, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But here's
why Patrick Mahomes won it. Because you look at these ridiculous plays of underhand throws while he's scrambling. Yeah, no look passes, everything like that. The intangibles he brings to the game.
And quarterback is unlike any other sport, holds this sort of higher weighting,
yeah.
Right? You've shown people can win a Super Bowl with a middling quarterback if they have the right pieces around them. But typically Super Bowls are won by the good quarterback, you know?
Agreed. You have to have a good system and a good quarterback. I just find it frustrating that players that do something exceptional don't win it. Now, I guess that does bring up the question of, is it the best player in the league, or is it the most valuable player to his team?
Well, I think
which also comes up in baseball all the time.
They have Offensive Player of the Year, just went to Justin Jefferson,
yes.
Which I think was appropriate. And, you know, maybe that's more of a statistical-oriented award, you know, where, he goes to this impactful offensive player. MVP, I think, is exactly that, right? Most valuable player. So I don't know if stats necessarily hold water.
So you say if you took that player away from their team, how much worse would they be?
Yes. It's like war in baseball kind of, right? It's just what does that person add to their team? And I have a really hard time giving anybody an MVP award where their team doesn't make the playoffs. I have a really hard time.
I would agree with that.
If you're that good of a player, then why is your team not making the playoffs?
Because
especially
in
the quarterback position.
Because there's three full phases in the game.
But there's 16 playoffs. Half the team goes to the playoffs. Or half the teams go to the playoffs.
Is it half?
It's not quite.
It's not quite half.
I think it's 14 of 32.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 7-7, right, in each.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA, it's almost hard not to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or at least the play-in games, I guess.
Yeah, now the play-in games.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good argument. That really is. I've always been a big Derrick Henry fan. I feel like he really got shafted. He rushed for 2,000 yards. That's happened how many times?
He probably should have won.
Yeah.
I mean, Adrian did it that one year he ran.
And he won the MVP. And so did, who's the other guy? Not Terrell Davis, but who won it after? No, I don't. Well, maybe he won it the year. I don't know if he won the MVP. I think he did win one. But I was thinking of, so I know Damian Tomlin won one, and Sean Alexander won one. And I think those were the last two running backs before Adrian Peterson. And then Adrian Peterson, I think, was the last running back. And maybe the last non-quarterback. Yeah, and one defensive player, I think, won the MVP. It was Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
In 86 or 85.
That was probably the year he had 22 sacks or
something like that.
Did he have a sack record before Strahan broke it?
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both Giants. That's interesting. Okay, so you can go down the list. So number three we have right here is Jackson Smith. How do you say that last name? Najiba?
Najiba.
So prognosis, not prognostication. What should I say? What is your prediction?
He's a great receiver. You can't go wrong with any of these guys. Like I said, it really comes down to where they wind up. I mean, he's got great hands. He's got great speed. Ohio State couldn't move the ball in the second half against Michigan. They showed how C.J. Stroud was kind of made of. At that point, they couldn't do anything in the second half against Michigan. So, you got to take that. You got to look at the colleges, the college careers. They had a great season. All of a sudden, Michigan shut him down. And, he had a good game against Georgia and so on and so forth.
I haven't seen a whole lot about these guys. I've seen a little bit of film. But Najiba and Johnston both look like they're kind of raw talents.
Yes.
Where they're like they're physically imposing guys, or they're, you know, or they run real fast.
The Johnson, the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whew, that was a game.
Yep.
Yeah, but boy, those guys are raw. Is my point. And again, it's going to depend on which system and which team they get drafted into. Where I think like Addison. And Booty, is that how you say his name? Is it or Boot?
Boot.
Those two guys are a little more polished.
Yes.
They're maybe don't have the high ceiling that the other two guys have, but they are really good players and could be like impactful right away.
Addison was a very polished wide receiver coming out of USC. He had good coaching out there.
He's like
he
an AJ Green this year. Kind of an AJ Green type.
Mm-hmm. And talent in college, right, that can mask a lot of things. Can just dominate based on talent. And then in the NFL, everyone's that talented.
Yeah, but I could see a guy like Addison going to like a team like the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And if they keep Lamar, oh my gosh, he could be a very
efficient league.
He could, but then if he goes to, you know, a team with maybe like the Arizona Cardinals, who are in quarterback flux, and you know,
I tell you what, if one of these wide receivers goes to the Lions, I'll bet you they have a nice year.
Well, they picked up that Jameis. That kid's going to be good. That Jameson Williams or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was like hurt on
that.
He
got drafted hurt.
He had a big play against the Vikings. That kid's getting that. I mean, the whole world had a big play against the Vikings this year. But
I mean, look out for the Lions next year. I mean, it's just the way they finished this year.
Yeah.
You would hope they spend all their picks on defense.
Yes.
Yeah. Their offense looks good. Goff looks good.
Goff does look good.
Yeah.
He probably looks more like the player, you know. It is funny when you go back and look at the top, like, quarterback taken in the top three in the last, like, 15 years. It's like, man, they're not usually very good, you know, or they have a good year or two, and then they just fall off, you know. So, anybody else in this list that really stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, the tight end, I know, he's going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, he definitely will.
For sure.
Yeah.
And again, he's going to be a stud. It'll be fit
and
for him.
And where does he go?
Yeah, that's a big Andy used the tight end a lot up there. And like I said, he is a stud of a tight end. The guy that I've had my eye on the whole season of college football, and I got to see a couple of UCLA games on the TV, is Zach Charbonnet. He originally started down at Michigan, then he transferred over to UCLA. So
how late do you think he gets drafted in a dynasty draft?
He could get drafted pretty late. Now, he is 6'1", 225. He is a bowling ball.
Yeah.
He is a physical runner.
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
So he impressed me the whole year around at UCLA. He was a stud. He's a stud.
It's interesting for me because I have like two or three third-round picks and like two fourths and like three fifths or something. And I'm hoping – do you think it's a deep class this year for skill position players? Or quarterback.
It sort of feels top heavy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about what's going on in the fifth, sixth, seventh round.
It's got to be top heavy. Like I'm looking at the list here. I'm gonna skip over Flower. He's a great receiver up there at Boston College.
There's some good quarterback talent.
CJ Stroud, stay the hell away from that kid.
Really?
As much as you can.
You think he's gonna be a bust, huh?
Yeah.
He looks like a Jalen Hurts to me.
And is he kind of older, or was he a fifth-year senior or something like that?
He looks good at some points, and some points he looks like he has no clue in the world.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows how to read a defense or anything
That's
like
the
that.
Thing.
But, boy, he's got some talent. And I'll tell you what, that second half against, was it Georgia that they played in the semifinal game?
Yes.
I mean, wow. He was incredibly accurate.
Yes. Now, I'm looking at that Michigan game where he just looked at the second half of that game and he's like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. He could be a total bust.
I mean, but if he's there hanging around like in the fifth round or something, I'll snag him because my team, I've got Lamar is my number one.
Not
he gets hurt.
He won't make it past the first round.
And the thing with
in a dynasty draft?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Ooh, really?
Oh, yeah, I'll be taking him. I have 10, 12, and 14, I think. I'll be taking them at least.
Interesting. I thought he might fall.
At 14. Oh, no. I need a quarterback.
Well, because so, I also have Tua Tagovailoa, but it's like, dude, is Tua going to even play more than another couple of years?
He shouldn't.
I mean.
He was on concussion protocol from basically, Christmas until the first week of February?
Dude, I mean, the guy was on the ground twitching.
Yeah.
I would have retired already.
If Tua was smart, he'd retire. I mean, that's...
I actually heard a rumor that Lamar likes the idea of going to Miami and throwing.
I think it'd be a great fit.
And Waddle, I mean,
you know,
I'd go nuts.
I don't want to sit here and say, dude, you got to retire. You got to look out for your mental
you
health.
You do.
You have to.
Yeah, there's a long time after football's over.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, you guys know my concussion story. You don't want to. Trust me.
No, I don't. Yeah, I mean, just the CTE stuff alone. I mean, he's got to have that by now.
Yeah.
You can't have that. And he had, those concussions came so close to each other.
Very, very close.
You know, it's like, you know that that's, I mean, they always say when the brain is concussed, it's that first time after you're healing from it that you're most in danger.
You're most vulnerable. So. That's really what it is.
Well, kind of to wrap things up, I mean, the quarterback situation, right? Bryce Young, I mean, he could be the top pick in the draft.
He could. Now, here's the thing with Bryce. He is a smaller, slimmer quarterback. So you definitely have to watch what team he might
go
to.
You're Russell Wilson type, kind of, huh?
He's not as built. I mean, I don't have his weight right in front of me, but he's, like I said, he's a smaller, slimmer quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's very athletic, so you got to watch where he kind of goes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a great quarterback. He did get hurt this year. Remember, the two games that Alabama lost, he was hurt in both of those games.
Do you think the Broncos trade up to the first pick by giving away their first-round picks from 2025, 26, 27, and
28? No. No one would take those.
Right? Why not? The Broncos are going to be bad.
I'll tell you what, George Payton, everything, he's put his whole career on Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
Yeah.
His whole career, because if they end up being bad this year, that guy will never have another GM position again.
Yep. So let's jump on over. This is why I was saying I want to do everything else first, because you know, I'm sure we'll be able to fill 40 minutes of Super Bowl lore. So I mean, where do we even start?
Let's start off with this. You know, this is Andy Reid. Andy Reid's old team, the Eagles. Andy Reid spent some unbelievable years in Philadelphia. Took Donovan McNabb and T.O. to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we still love Andy. And everybody in Philly still loves Andy.
Oh, obviously an offensive genius.
You know, he had to go at some point just because, you know, I don't want to bring it up, but his kids got in trouble in Philly and so on and so forth. The family needed a change.
Sure.
Kansas City was the perfect place for Andy to go. I am so happy Andy Reid has a Super Bowl and he's back in the Super Bowl. You know, I'm so happy that we get to play them in the Super Bowl. Now, the Nick Sirianni got fired by Andy.
Right.
So Sirianni's got a little chip on his shoulder. And we've got the Kelce brothers. You know, when Mama Kelce comes up on media day and both her sons are there and she's got Tupperwares of cookies to give both of them. That's like something you could only make up in a fantasy dream.
It's like the Watt family. Like, can you imagine having two sons in the NFL?
Three.
Yeah.
There's three?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, how is that? What kind of genes do they have? Just incredible.
So it's like the McCaffreys.
Yeah.
So there
was a petition going around. They got about 110,000 signatures of having Mama Kelce flip the coin. Can't happen because the Super Bowl already said they're going to, since it's in Arizona, they're going to pay tribute to Pat Tillman, who got friendly fire.
That's cool.
So they're going to do that. They're going to be a Tillman tribute since they're in Arizona.
Oh, that's great.
So, I understand. I wish they could just put Mama Kelce on the field next to all of them. I just love you. We call her Mama Kelce. Everyone calls her Mama Kelce.
Man, that was 22 years ago that Tillman left the NFL to fight in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
or Iraq.
It was one of the two.
It does make you feel old.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, we're now at the age where we've seen an entire generation go through the sports, right?
Yes.
We were going into college
we're
or whatever.
Seeing players, kids.
With LeBron. You see like Gary Payton the second. You know, the second.
Antoine Winfield's kid.
Patrick Surtain.
Yeah.
Surtain, whatever his name is. And he's looking amazing, by the way. But
Randy Moss's kid.
Yeah. Oh.
He was at LSU.
And did he do well?
Yeah, you know, he's a tight end. I think he changed school or changed position.
I think he did go to the portal.
Yeah.
I don't know where he was.
Yeah, I lost track of him with that. But he was on that LSU team.
What does NIL stand for?
Name, image, likeness.
Ah.
You can use your name, image, likeness.
Okay.
Which is, it has no real rules, and it's kind of the wild, wild west. Right.
Well,
now.
I've noticed that it just seems like if a player is like, if they see him eating something or wearing something or whatever, then that company can just say, hey, how about $500,000 and you do a couple commercials on Instagram?
Here's the perfect example. I'm just going to mention it quick because she's been in the news a lot. Libby Dunn, the LSU G gym though.
Oh yeah.
And she's bringing in about like $2.2 million, and she's 20 years old, a gymnast. She's an Instagram hit, but you know the article out of Utah where she wasn't even in the gymnastics meet. There was teenage boys screaming for her. And the mother said,
have you seen like the lines like outside the gym when she gets out?
Well, the parents said it was so creepy and scary.
Oh,
but then
it
like,
has to be.
Well, yeah, but I was like, you know what? Didn't 16-year-old girls and Justin Bieber, didn't they all do this and it was a big deal? But anyway,
right. No, I'm just
saying, she has such it's clothing contract. She gets on and puts on their clothes.
They've had to change the way they do security at these events.
Yeah.
Well, because I mean, it used to be like that. You know, women that were good in sports tended to not care about appearance as much. I mean, I'm not saying that they didn't care, but like that's why Anna Kournikova was such a big deal.
Oh yeah,
because
she
was
really
attractive.
Yeah,
and she played, and this woman is done. She's gorgeous. I mean,
she's
absolutely gorgeous.
She is.
And she's taking advantage of the influence
as well she should.
Absolutely. And it's just the era.
And like I said, I brought that up just to explain what the NIL outside of like college football really is. Like she is.
Because a lot of people are thinking like, you know, oh, these colleges can pay, they can do more, but it's really not about colleges paying.
Well,
it's about the colleges hooking them up with a sponsor who then pays
them. Well, here's the other side of that. Because
who benefits off of them?
The running back coming into Texas, they asked him, he's like, well, I'm going to have to score a lot of touchdowns. He's like, I guess I'll have to do a commercial here or there. I'm like, seriously, dude, did you really say that out loud? I'm like, dude, you're paying they're giving you money to do commercials for you.
Yeah, right.
Like, so, you got to do more than score a touchdown.
I'm trying to remember who it was who made the most money last year in college football. I'm not going to be able to remember that.
I don't have it up.
I want to say it was a little over a million, but it wasn't as much money as I thought.
I try to stay away from the NIL because I just, like I said, it needs to be regulated in some way, and they're just not doing it yet. That's why I don't like to bring up, I don't like talking about the NIL right now.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to regulate.
It really is. It just is. So let's get back on to the Super Bowl here, guys. Obviously I'm an Eagles fan. I'm going to be with Herb Street here. Herb Street never picks the games he's calling. I'm an Eagles fan. I will not pick this game any score either way. But what are your thoughts here just running into the tail of the tape here? And anyway, Andy Reid is 3-0 against his old team, the Eagles. 3-0, have not lost.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. So let's see. You know, both teams are equal. They both scored 456 points last year. They're both 16-3. This is about as equal of an offense as you can get. The difference is the defense. So,
I mean,
let's go around the room here and let's hear what your take is right away.
I mean, I would have said a little while ago, I've been like, oh, well, the Chiefs kind of feel like they're on an upward trajectory. The Eagles feel like they're kind of leveling off a little bit. Now, not to take away from the amazing season the Eagles have had.
Well,
we've got to
remember,
Jalen
Hurts got injured with 5 games today.
Sure. But that's what I'm saying is that it seems like the trajectories were in opposite directions.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles have just pretty much laid a can on their way to the Super Bowl.
We love beating up on the Giants. It's so much fun.
Dude, that was embarrassing. I was in Vegas for that game, and there was a Giants fan. And, I mean, we're talking about silence from about 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
That is shocking. I mean, that's shocking how dominant they have been. And I've been reading some articles about the GM, about the team that he built, and it's that the Eagles' talent goes very deep, very deep.
Yes, they're a great team. I think overall, they're the best team in the NFL,
yes.
I think.
They're the most complete team.
Yeah. They're good in the trenches. You know, Jalen Hurts has kind of proven himself as
put in a great
top,
great offseason. He put in a great offseason.
The two receivers, I mean, those could be the two that could be the best tandem in the NFL.
Then you're mixing
Dallas is a heck of a tight end.
And how scary is it that AJ Brown hasn't been doing much lately?
No, he hasn't.
Imagine if he goes off. I mean, you've already got not Waddle, but Quez
Watkins on there with a speedster, a home run hitter down there too.
You know, it's funny. I've been looking and watching the running backs for the Eagles the last few weeks.
Yes.
I know Miles Sanders is the starter. They seem to play – the other two seem to play a good role.
They all have their –
yeah, Gainwell's kind of more the catch.
Boston Scott is a giant killer.
But, oh, my gosh.
He seems like he's a late – like the big yardage.
I was surprised by his explosiveness.
He is a very, very –
it was like – it's like watching Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard. You know, like it's like why the heck is Zeke still in there? And obviously the answer is because they're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know,
although
Zeke
had a nice stretch run.
He did, but he's just on, you know, the eye test, right?
Yeah.
Like Pollard just looked so much more explosive.
And well, it's just the miles, right?
Boston Scott, to me, looks like he shot out of a cannon.
That's exactly the way that you should put it.
I mean,
wish they would use him more in the game plan sometimes.
Yeah, he's a really, really underrated
player.
It's
hard to keep three running backs used. But they do. Gainwell's got his, you know, he seems to have kind of the swing game.
Yep.
You know, obviously Sanders is kind of their all too, like, you know, first two down kind of guy.
Right.
And Scott seems to be, to me, like the hard yard guy. Even though I agree with you, he can be explosive.
Yeah.
But I think he's a hard yard runner. Like, we need this yard. We need these two. And it's always, I think it's very telling about both of these teams is if they're at third and two or less, you almost assume if they don't get it, they're going for it on fourth down.
Yes, that's one of the
biggest
things.
Because of how powerful their front lines are, and it makes me think about the Broncos and how they've been so bad for 6 years, and that's what I never noticed. I never see the Broncos. I just feel like, well, the line's going to move, you know, 3 feet, you know, to the front or a foot and a half or a yard and a half forward. It's like with the Broncos, it just kind of stays there. But with the Eagles and the Chiefs, it's like, oh, no, off the ball, the line is moving forward. It's just how far forward are they going to go?
Yeah.
Like they can go for that's fourth, you know, in inches because they know they're going
to
get something.
If you listen to, especially if you listen to the Eagles, the players talk, that O-line room, it's the hungry dogs run faster. They run harder.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a mentality that's instilled in those guys, like Lane Johnson and Kelsey. I mean, there's a nasty mentality down there.
They really embody Philly, right?
They are blue collar. I mean, look at Jason Kelce and this. He wasn't even supposed to spoke at the Super Bowl parade. He comes out dressed as one of the mummers in a mummer costume. It was ridiculously cool.
Well, I see this game going one of two ways. I think the Eagles they're so good at coming out quick,
mm-hmm.
and that's got to be part of their game plan.
Absolutely.
So I think they're going to come out running a real fast offense, trying to score. So they're either going to have a lot of success, and then it's just going to – the game's going to be over at halftime, and they're going to just roll like they have all playoffs long. I think that's one scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The other scenario is they're going to come out firing. Like, I mean, I don't see how they don't, right? That's just how they've had their success is – they have really pushed the ball down the field early going.
Yeah, and they want to be able to unleash the hounds at the quarterback.
Absolutely, because that's a huge advantage for them, right? So I think if they come out and make a mistake or two and they keep Kansas City in the game, I think you're going to see Mahomes take it home at the end. You know, I think if it's going to stay a game, I think Kansas City wins it kind of on the final play. They're on the final drive of the game. You know, so I think it could be a game, but I think it's a little more likely if the Eagles kind of roll.
I mean, I don't see that kind of a game. I think the unders are the best bet in this game. I haven't actually seen the over-under yet. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm seeing, you know, a teens and low 20s scores on the side. What I think is going to happen is I do think the Eagles will score early. I think they'll have a very good script out there to get in there and get a score. I think Kansas City will probably do the same. They'll have a well thought out game plan. We'll have like a 7-7 game early. And then I think we're going to see a barren scoreboard for the second and third quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, I think the Eagles probably score early. And then Kansas City gets like a field goal. And then the Eagles get like a field goal or another touchdown. And then Mahomes, you know, does a fantastic comeback, you know, late, you know, four or five minutes left in the game. And then they stop the Eagles on defense. And then it'll be Eagles up by a score and the Chiefs with the ball. And I think the Eagles defense stops them from getting in the end zone. And that's, I think that's how the game
just goes. To give you a heads up, the over-under is at 51, and the line has not moved since it opened at Philadelphia minus a point and a half.
Yeah, I throw on the under with a lot of aggressiveness. Just perfect. But if you know my gambling history in football and sports gambling, probably shouldn't take
I'm going heavy second half overs. That almost seems to always hit. Like, guys,
that makes sense.
They're so tired, and then I think the offenses just kind of take over. I don't think that always happens. But
with the high-flying teams, it does.
Yeah.
Bills and Chiefs and, you know, Bengals and Bills. And, you know, well, actually, no, give a to the Bengals. Man, they shut down the Bills. And if they had figured out how to not, like, if they had not been stupid and pissed off the Chiefs, I think they could have won that game. I think it was the stupidest thing in the world with them all acting like, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. We'll beat the Chiefs. It's like, you're giving the Chiefs motivation?
Yeah.
Really? That team?
I think they learned their lesson.
You hope.
Yeah.
That mayor's an idiot, too. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think here's the one weakness for the Eagles, that they really haven't played a good quarterback this year. They've probably played the best quarterback they played maybe was Kirk Cousins. You know, they just haven't played. They didn't play the Bengals. They didn't play the Bills. They're not playing these, you know, they didn't play the Chiefs. They didn't play these top-tier quarterbacks. And they're, you know, they haven't seen someone like Patrick Mahomes.
You're right.
In fact, is there even a quarterback like that in the NFC?
I mean, Dak Prescott might be the closest.
Herbert?
He's in the AFC, though.
He's in the AFC.
He's Jordan.
I'd say Kyler Murray, maybe, but he was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
Didn't have that great.
He's all disgruntled, and that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, that's outside of Jalen Hurts, is there a great quarterback in the NFC? I mean, a truly offensive aerial threat.
I mean, Jalen Hurts is probably the next best.
No, that's what I was going with.
Oh.
In the NFC, is anybody even in the same conversation now?
No, I mean, they didn't have any receivers, so you can't have Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah, no, there's no one like that.
Where do you think Aaron Rodgers goes? Just side question.
The Raiders.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of talk that people want him to wind up in New York City with the Jets. I don't see that ever happening.
Well, there's the
Why would you want to go?
There's the Hackett connection.
Yeah,
right?
Hackett went to the Jets.
Yeah.
And are we under the belief that Hackett is some kind of a good, some impressive offensive?
I'm surprised that's who the Jets hired.
I am, too, actually. I am too.
Maybe it's the same reason the Broncos hired him. They think it'll get them.
Well, that must be their thinking.
That was their thinking. Yeah. They were thinking they were getting Rodgers when they hired him.
But
But
now, like, Rodgers, I'd be like, I don't want to go play for him. Obviously, it wasn't his scheme. It was obviously, who the hell is the coach for the Green Bay Packers that at first he didn't like?
LaFleur.
Yeah. But I mean, it's obviously LaFleur's, you know, overall game plan that's making that work.
Yeah.
And having a quarterback that's unbelievable accuracy. But I mean, they showed, like, you took away Rodgers' best weapon.
Yeah.
And boy, he was bad.
I don't know if he had a 300-yard game. I don't think he had one.
It's just a bad year.
He
was not good.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. But
is he just Rich Gannon?
I don't know. I think the Raiders are a good fit for him because he's got a good tight end. He's got a couple of good receivers. They got a good running game. You know, the offense is kind of ready-made for him. You know, he can walk in there.
Is Josh Jacobs signed?
He's a free agent.
He had
a resurgence this year.
Yeah, if they lose him, that'll be interesting to see what that
I agree. He was an impactful player for them.
But they still got Waller. They got Adams.
Yeah.
And who's their other receiver?
Who is their other receiver?
Renfro.
Oh, Hunter Renfro. Yeah, he's good. He got hurt, I think, a lot this year, but he's healthy. Yeah, it's a good base. I don't know how good their line is, though. Anyway.
So I'm gonna answer your Patrick Mahomes question. So this is the heart of the Eagles have the most sacks this year at 68 in the NFL.
Yeah.
So let's just read across these leaders. Hassan Reddick, who injured Mr. O'Reilly.
That was the signing of the season for them.
16 sacks by Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Josh Sweat, 11 sacks, Walter Cox, the old man, 7 sacks, and Milton Williams, 4 sacks. The key to this game is going to be getting a man on Kelce and then let those guys go wild after Patrick Mahomes, because remember, he still has a high ankle sprain, and he says he's fine to go. Well, we all know that. But when you get those, especially Hassan Reddick, I mean, that guy's a monster.
I think both QBs are at about 75%.
Yeah,
but tell me that it didn't seem very odd how Mahomes last week suddenly was limping when he wanted some sympathy from the refs, and then it seemed like he had no problem on one toe throwing his sidearm when he was.
So we just mentioned
the injury.
I'm gonna jump ahead for just 1 second, and I'm gonna give you a great prop bet. The prop bet of this one is total players to have a pass attempt. The over 2.5 at plus. One of those backup quarterbacks is going to take a snap in this game.
Or
A.J. Brown.
I was going to say A.J. Brown.
Someone's going to take a snap.
Yeah.
So is that plus 160, the over is 2.5.
Boy, I do like that.
That's a great prop bet. He has to actually throw an attempt.
That's got to be
Total players to have a pass attempt.
Okay.
I like that bet.
That's a good prop bet.
I like that bet a lot.
So my thing will be fourth down. I think we're going to see a lot of fourth downs where they go for it.
Yeah, anything past the 50.
So I wonder what the over-under is on that, if there is one.
How many fourth downs?
Yeah, it's got to be like four or five, something like that.
Yeah.
Probably. I would take the overs in that.
Boy, imagine you can pair that one up with the passes, and you can make yourself some serious money.
You really could.
I will say in Vegas, a lot of our boys bet on Dallas Goedert, first touchdown.
That's a really good bet.
Including myself. I only put $20 on it, or $10 on it, whatever.
We had
some guys throw some good money on that, and they made some nice profits.
Dallas made the Super Bowl. Dallas Goedert. But no, that's a really good bet. I tell you that. That's a really good bet. He likes Dallas. He likes Dallas Goedert. That's a good bet.
I don't think that you want to go to the well twice in a row. I mean, the Eagles won't try.
Right.
I'm just saying as a gambling thing, right? It's like,
yes.
Boy, a prop bet like that is like, that's a tough call. Like, it's easier to do a anytime touchdown score, right?
Yeah.
And even those are hard. Like, I can't tell you how many same game parlays. I'm like, oh, I hit the yards. Oh, I hit the under. The guy never scored a touchdown. And you're like, because you start thinking, oh, yeah, that great player, he'll score a touchdown. I mean, the greatest touchdown seasons are like 20. You know, it's like that's, even if he had 20, like that would still only be like 1.3
a
game.
I'll caveat that prop bet with the easiest prop bet, the coin toss. You know what?
Easy.
You know what?
Best probability.
It's 50-50,
yeah.
But you don't have to wait for the end of the game to realize if you won any money or if you lost money.
Tails never fail.
You get it right off the bat.
I wonder what the bet is. Will there be an overtime coin toss?
Ooh.
Pair that with will it be an overtime coin toss with the other two numbers and the what is it, the 2.5 pass attempts, 2.5
okay.
people to pass
attempts.
How
about attempts? Turnovers?
First turnover, there's the one prop that is the first turnover will be an interception, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
The first, because of the way Patty Mahomes, he does a lot on the field,
mm-hmm.
but with that defense chasing him around, he might make a mistake.
I think he throws. How many? Well, he didn't have a ton of interceptions this year, right?
12.
Yeah, he had quite a few. So I think that is, I think a lot of that is because his receivers are good but not great.
That's what you're early. Because Scantling's going to have to play in the slot, and so you start taking away things on you know the speed right down the field. Slay's going to have a great game in this game where he might get the first interception.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's all about Kelce, right? If you can slow down Kelce or even block out Kelce,
I'd be triple covering him. If I was the Eagles.
Absolutely.
Make some
one safety over the top the entire game.
Yeah, because I don't see, like, Valdez Scantling had a great game 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And he kind of looked like, hey, I might have figured something out with Patrick Mahomes. If he has a game like that in the Super Bowl, then I think the Chiefs are dangerous. Because I don't really think they're going to be able to do much on the ground. And even though I know that's maybe one of Philly's weaknesses is the run game, but I just don't. They're going to need to run the ball to stay balanced.
Well,
if
Pacheco has a big, big game,
yeah.
Eagles might be in trouble.
Oh, for
that,
sure.
That's a key right there.
I'll make my prediction. Not prediction. Hey, what if? If Jared McKinnon has two touchdowns, Chiefs win. When he has a good game, he has a great game.
Yeah.
And if he's having a great game, Mahomes is having a good game.
That's definitely not out of the question. I can tell you that.
I think there's
another wild card, too, who is Kadarius Toney. Like, the guy is so talented.
Has he done anything yet?
Not really.
Yeah.
He always seems to be injured.
Yeah, he's always hurt.
Yeah.
But then, like, when he plays, he seems to get, like, 1 9-yard catch for a touchdown.
Well,
you know, so it's like he gets on
the subject. I think it was Kelton that said it. He's like, how did the Giants let this guy get out of their locker room?
Yeah.
Like, that's how talented he was, but he was always injured.
There was obviously something.
Yeah.
Because
I had him in our
personal
league, and then he
just
never did anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just something personal.
Upstairs? Or he's got a character flaw.
Or, you know, maybe he had a run-in with an intern or something, or a worker in the facility and kind of
pushed
him up on
it. He's definitely got the talent.
I mean,
the guy can run. So, I don't know. This will be a good – he could be an X factor for them, you know, or he could be quiet and not do anything.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a solid game. I think these coaches are too well-schooled. I think the quarterbacks, I was not a believer in Jalen at all.
Oh, no. I was the biggest skeptic.
And I tell you, I mean, I'm very impressed with how much change he has made.
Yeah,
he's blown away.
He put the work in the offseason.
Yeah,
he's very serious. And Blair talks about that a lot. He's like, people don't realize this guy is a very studious. Like, he is hungry to know why he wants to achieve it.
I've liked Jalen since day one, and I've always thought he would be a very good quarterback. But he has gotten above and beyond to where I thought he would get.
Yes.
Like, he's exceptional.
Yeah.
You know, I would go out on a limb and say he's probably top 5-6 quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Oh, I mean, based on last year, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, there's always that question of would you be the same player somewhere else? And that goes into the question that we were talking about earlier with the dynasty.
Probably not.
Where if you don't go to the right place, like, look at Trevor Lawrence. Disaster under that idiot Meyer. And then, you know, Peterson goes down there and he's looking great. I mean, you have to have the right system, the right knowledge, or it's like, I don't think you have to have the right head coach, but you need to bring in a coach for these top draft players that are, like, geared to them. And it's like, remember when Jalen Hurts came out, Carson Wentz, right, when they drafted him?
Yeah.
They had Peterson. He was a former quarterback and was a great quarterback, like Groomer. And then there were, like, two other guys.
Frank Reich was the quarterback coach.
Yeah, they had two more guys that were big-time quarterback developers.
The smartest thing Jacksonville did was drafting Travis Etienne
afterwards,
because now that kind of gives him a little familiarity, right?
Yeah, they were college roommates. They were college roommates.
Yeah.
They were college roommates in college.
Where did they play? I don't even know.
Clemson.
Oh, they both for Clemson?
Yeah.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence was Clemson?
Yeah.
That's why they were good for – okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was actually a really good move on their part to bring in a weapon.
I love
somebody who can make an impact, but also is real familiar
with Trevor.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamar Chase had on. Worked great with Joe Burrow. Yeah, so,
wow. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to be able to keep all that talent.
So let's hit on this real quick. We have the first Super Bowl with two starting quarterbacks that are both black.
Yeah.
That's the first time in history that's happened. That's a big thing.
That is amazing.
I want to point out something, though, because this hasn't been brought up in the media. The Eagles have a history of black quarterbacks in our franchise.
Yeah.
We got Randall Cunningham, Rodney P., Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, and now Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
Black quarterbacks.
You said Vick?
I'll tell you one other thing that I was going to tell you earlier.
I'm surprised that hasn't got brought up.
Well, when you talk about Donovan McNabb, if Donovan McNabb could complete a swing pass, do you think the Eagles have won two or three Super Bowls? I do.
I would say so.
I mean, the number of times I saw Westbrook with 15 yards of green ahead of him, and he was 10 feet from McNabb, and McNabb couldn't get in the ball.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. Back then, they used to like that big screen one way, go the other way too, though.
And he got the most out of McNabb that anyone else could have.
But it was just amazing. McNabb would throw it right in the ground.
Yeah,
he just wasn't that good of a player. But Andy made him into a very good player.
System,
and a great Andy had a great system for him.
By the way, I just want to ask, how do you like that chair?
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
It's a rocking camping chair.
Yeah, I like
it. And I got it a couple of years ago. And it's one of the few things that, like, I was so blown away by how much better it is than I would have thought.
Yeah, no, it's great. Real comfy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I take it out into the courtyard all the time. And
what's the over-under on Reddick and how many sacks he gets?
Can't be more than 1.5, right?
It's going to be 1.5, but I could see him getting two.
Yeah.
These
are some fun props that you could put together and have, like, a nice plus 2,400 or something, you know?
Are they going to line him up on the right side? Because what's his name? Orlando Brown's got to be one of the best tackles in the game for the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
So left tackles. I can't remember who their right tackle is, but he's a decent player.
Yeah.
But is that where they're going to line up Hassan, you think?
It's got to be. I just
put him on the weak side, right? Or I guess that's technically the strong side because that's where the tight end lines up.
Yeah, he's a strong side.
My guess is you're trying to bring a linebacker to 3-4 on the outside to try and pull that, pull the tackle off.
Well, I hope the Chiefs learned a lesson from the 49ers and that they don't have a tight end out there trying to block them. That was a disaster.
Oh, good.
They cost them the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why both the quarterbacks got hurt. Because they're trying to block this Reddick with a tight end.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
That was a mistake on Shanahan's game plan there. And the 49ers were a little bit, we got robbed. Dude, man. Block Reddick and your quarterback stays healthy.
Kittle's a specimen. And Reddick just threw him around like a rag doll.
I mean, but he's a specimen. specimen, but I don't think he's a stalwart. I mean, he was a good blocker, but I don't think he's like, he's not that big. You know, I mean,
big enough.
He's a big dude, man. George Kittle?
I think he looks so slender to me.
Oh, man, I don't know. He's like 6'4", 240 or something like that.
Okay, I mean, I guess he's tied in. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if he weighs, I don't know if he weighs that much, but he's tall.
But that, you know, you brought up something that I think is a really good question, because it really pisses me off about the Broncos, is that their line's been so bad. The Chiefs, this is a completely different line from, what was it, 2 years ago?
Exactly.
I mean, like, and I think they did it again. I think they also did a partial rebuild last year.
The Chiefs have a good offensive line coach. They must, because they seem to just pull talent.
But why are they able to trade for, like, three, like, really good players? And, like, it's like, how come nobody else can pull off those trades? Like, what are you giving
away? Well, I mean, one, you got Andy Reid as head coach. Two, you got Eric Bieniemy still right next to him as a second in command.
You know, I would love to see the Cardinals hire him.
He's got to get hired by somebody.
He might be the answer for Kyler. Yeah, but that might be what Kyler needs.
It might be.
You know, I hate to say it, but I mean, I think he needs a black coach, somebody that's relatable. I mean,
right.
He doesn't necessarily have to be a black coach, but I think that helps.
Or you know, someone really that was in the game, you know. You know, Bieniemy, we all know Eric Bieniemy for Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, right.
Instead of up there in Boulder.
Yes.
That's up to you. I mean.
And that was not fair that they did not give him at least 3 years. He never had to play with his own team.
No.
That's just horseshit.
I know. It just maybe Kyler needs that college guy. Because you look at Bieniemy, and he's been in the pros so much, but he was a stud in college. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, he needs that kind of, that mentality of, you know, a little bit different.
Yeah, somebody that he can respect, right?
Yeah.
That, like, that
I mean,
played the game.
I just think
that would be a really good fit for Arizona. But, you know, Joanna's classmate, my wife, Joanna, her classmate from Laverne is Monty Ossenfort, who is the brand new GM for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Monty
Ossenfort.
Monty Ossenfort.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great name.
That is a great name.
Damn.
Yeah.
So that's a great name.
He's the new GM of the Arizona Cardinals, so that's kind of funny.
Well, I don't know what happened to the Cardinals, but good Lord, dude. That was
implosion.
Ugly, man.
Implosion and injury. I mean,
what injury did to a lot of teams this year.
Oh,
you did. The Broncos, right?
It was hard.
There was at one point, I think, the Broncos were playing with one or maybe two of their starting offensive linemen.
Oh, one, yeah.
They were
yeah.
on their fifth running back, their fourth and fifth receiver.
And that was after saying, oh, we're not going to play anybody in the preseason or in the contact drill. So
and their third or fourth.
It doesn't work.
You have to get some kind of calluses. You can't just let people, you know. I mean, I think it goes both ways, right? But
right.
I have to wonder, because one thing I did like about what the Penner Group is doing, even though I'm not a fan of the Walmart really buying the Broncos, do like that, A, they just step back for a year. They're like, let's just see what we've got.
Right.
Let's not make any jokes.
They didn't put that team together.
And a huge thing was he went to the training staff and said, figure out what's wrong or we're bringing people that do.
Yeah.
Because of all the injuries this year, you know.
They did fire the guy.
Right. Well, I mean, he went to the whole department or whatever.
Yeah.
And was like, this whole thing has to be.
But whoever their like head trainer or whatever,
yeah,
I think they let him go. Yeah.
But I thought that was a really interesting take. That was like, you know, okay, what's one thing that really killed us? If we're never have a, and you think back to it, all the way back to Ryan Clay going forward, all of their great players get hurt for multiple years or long sessions, you know, and the Eagles and the Chiefs for the most part, you don't see a lot of.
Yeah.
Probably why they're so deep in the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, even though
I think depth is part of that, right? Like they're able to coach up these guys and then somebody can plug a role for a short period of time and kind of gloss it over because they've been coached up and there's so many good pieces around them.
Mm-hmm.
They can kind of overcome that. But yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the health of both these teams, you know, like we said, the quarterbacks are hurting, but you look at everybody else, it's pretty healthy. I think Kansas City maybe is down a receiver or two, but I mean, other than that, both teams have had a lot of luck with their health.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Eagles' offensive line has stayed healthy all year.
Yes.
You know, and it's a really good offensive line.
Yeah, that Lane Johnson is a really good player.
He is.
Yeah.
He definitely is. Now, you know, we all forget sometimes that the Broncos, on paper before the season, were Super Bowl contenders.
Well, that was the assumption.
The assumption on paper.
Because it was always like the Broncos that had a great defense that they could just have an offense. Well, now we got a real quarterback. Oh, we brought in an offensive guru-type coach.
But, I mean, Russell really took a step back. I mean,
I think it was Hackett.
So do I.
But the last two games, look how different of a quarterback he looked like.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah, I agree. I think Hackett was so vanilla, and everybody had him figured out by week two.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they weren't going to do anything creative, and that's why they couldn't put points on the board. And then they were just leaving it up to the defense, and they, you know, I think his thing was, okay, yeah, we're going to win close games. Hold them down, and then we'll score when we need to score with Russ.
But it's like, go up by two scores, and then your defense becomes 10 times more intimidating.
Yeah, they were so vanilla and so slow.
But
they didn't try to run fast offense at all.
Just important is that we've only got 5 minutes.
Yep.
So let's make sure we finish up on the Super Bowl here. So, Nate, let's get your score prediction.
All right. As much as I've talked the Eagles up, I do think that Patrick Mahomes is what makes the difference. So I'll go Kansas City Chiefs 28, Philadelphia Eagles 27.
Oh, that'd be a burner.
I'm not going to give a score. Like I said, I do not predict scores on my team. That's a superstition. I will say this. We already talked about Hassan Reddick being one of the keys. You go on the other side of the ball, Chris Jones at 15.5
sacks. He's a beast.
He's the guy that where Micah Parsons and Ed if you're going to get someone in no man's land, if Jalen's going to get someone in no man's land where he overcommits or undercommits, that's where the big play is going to happen. So
no quarterback likes pressure up the middle.
Right. You're going to look at Chris Jones there, and he's going to be a very big key on what type of game Jalen Hurts has. Got to come down to that.
Yep.
So he's going to be the guy watching that RPO. And when Jalen played Micah Parsons, he got Micah Parsons out in no man's land a couple of times in that game when Jalen played and when he wasn't hurt.
Especially when, Mika's been just like...
Penn State monster.
An amazing.
Penn State monster.
I already kind of told you guys earlier what I think the game will go like. I think it'll be each team scores on their first possession because they'll have it scripted out so well. I see a field goal or two over the entire mid portion of the second and third quarters. I think the Eagles score early in the fourth. I think that the Chiefs may come back and score, and then the Eagles score again. I think the Eagles end up being up 24-17. Mahomes has the ball. I think they get it to the 40-yard line or so before they get stopped and the clock runs out.
Now, remember, Harrison Butker was injured this year, and he did miss in the playoffs, if I remember right. So that's another thing to keep in the back of the head.
Well, he's also missed the first under 40-yard kick or whatever that he's missed in years, wasn't it?
So the Eagles kickers had some issues in the past too, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, but that's something to keep in the back of your head. We're talking about the fourth downs that both these coaches like to run.
Yeah,
that's something to keep in the back of your head. Now, granted, you're playing on a pristine surface in a dome, but that's just
where's the ball at?
I don't think it's in a dome.
Well, if they have it open,
dome.
Yeah,
it's retired. They'll probably have it open. It's supposed to be 65.
Okay,
it's 65. Pretty sure.
Wouldn't that be fun to go to? Even if you're not even going to the game, just go to Vegas weekend? Yeah. I should not be thinking about going to Vegas more often.
I'd say you just got back.
I just got back, and I got to tell you, there's nothing more frustrating than going into Caesar's Palace and seeing the craps tables are $50 minimum bets.
Ooh.
I mean, it's even ridiculous out in Vegas. It's almost not fun because it's like, dude, I can't play for an hour just to warm up or get my feelings, because I'm going to be out of money.
There's your inflation right there.
Dude, it is. Although I will say we got them to waive our resort fee and our resort taxes when we went in. So instead of paying $600 or $570, we paid $420. So
that's
not bad for 3 nights.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
Did Joe Biden help you with that?
It was actually $416, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Oh, we're down to the last 90 seconds of the show.
It always goes so fast.
It does. Any parting thoughts?
The CU spring game tickets go on sale probably on February 17th. They're going to be $10 because of charity. They probably will sell out Folsom Field for the spring game.
I would hope.
Which normally only gets about 5,000 people.
So prediction, in 2 years, where do the Buffalo finish? Assuming Deion stays.
Assuming Deion stays, they'll be top six.
Wait, so college football playoff expands, right?
Next year.
So
no, the year after.
It'll be 18?
12.
So it's 12.
For 2024.
Yes.
My prediction is that they're in that.
Oh, no, 2025. Not next year.
I think he turns CU around. I think they end up ranked this year in the top 25.
They should.
And I think the next year they make the college football playoff.
I think so.
Yeah, he's bringing in so much talent. He has like the two best corners in the country.
Yeah.
And that's a transfer window. Imagine what's going to happen when he has a whole year of recruiting.
Yeah, a lot of team building going on because
he's got 21 people in the transfer portal.
They're turning over that.
He's got a 5-star, a couple 4-stars, and a couple.
Why wouldn't you want to play for Dion? You know,
especially if you're a corner.
It's Colorado. If you're from Florida,
I mean,
it's Colorado. If you're from Florida.
Yeah, great show. Thanks for coming up. Had a great time, and let's try and get some more of these going. I've got more free time now.
We've got a month already ahead of what paid for.
Me too.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Offensive.